the class. All right, so this is part two of our Get It Done Day, and we're going to start with Diana. Give me a second to share my screen. Share. And I'm still in J's, so I'll share that. And then we'll move to Diana, which I think was Jeannie. Paula? Is that Paula? Where did yours go?
I don't know.
I had it open.
I didn't hide it.
It's went away.
I put a link to Diana's hair mineral test in our call agenda. Do you have that still?
Oh, I can't find the call agenda because I don't think here it is. Got it. Oh, yeah, but I had her whole thing open and I had all these things open on the screen earlier. I don't understand why. All right, there's your hair mineral. But I also wanted to have your health tracker. And I have notes that I printed out too. And also, yeah.
My supplements are not updated, but my labs are.
Oh, your supplements aren't. So I was going through them, and so we'll just talk about it. Okay, so congratulations. Your toxics are great.
Right.
We talked about the other day. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Let me open this in a new window. Oh, it is open in a new window. Why is it? That's weird. All right. Well, I guess this is what I'll do. It looks like it has that behind it. Isn't that weird?
Isn't that weird?
Very strange. All right. So the ones that I have marked, the magnesium is slightly in the high end, and they're basically, the report says that it doesn't really mean much of anything as far as your magnesium status. That excessive magnesium is rare, and I'm not concerned about that one.
Yeah, we actually did make an adjustment. We increased the magnesium a little bit, and so we've just backed off of that.
Okay. I don't know that it'll make a difference.
Yeah. I was doing 400 and we've increased it like 525. So I just dropped that extra 125 down back to my 400.
Back down to 400. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, but the sodium potassium.
Right. And those have been a problem all along, and they reflect in the labs.
Yeah. And that's what I looked at and wrote in my notes.
Now we added, the electrolytes, the Seeking Health electrolytes. And I've been adding, I started out at one scoop, but it caused a little issue with my gut. So I backed it off and I'm slowly increasing from a tolerance level.
Okay. Do they have one that's unsweetened? Cause because I mentioned one to somebody, she must have ordered the wrong one. Cause she says, every time I take it, my blood sugar goes up, and it turned out it has grape juice in it.
Okay. Yeah. So, we did some other things that are helping with my blood sugar too. So yeah, I said my tracker is behind because we've made so many changes in the last 2 months.
Okay.
We're starting to trying to ramp things up.
Okay. And, so we have that handled.
Yeah.
I
think so. We'll find out soon, but that's consistent with my blood labs too. So.
Yeah. So chromium being low would contribute to blood sugar, and your chromium is fairly low.
Yeah.
How much are you taking currently?
When I did this test, I've been taking 600 a day of the chromium polynicotinate. I've been taking one per meal, and I wasn't taking the extra ones, so I added that, and it might not be enough. But we also added the thorn product called diabinil, and it has another 200 of chromium.
Oh, okay. That has other good synergists in it.
Right. Exactly. That was one of the reasons we added that. And that one was the one I've been able to add a little bit more fruit to our smoothies.
Good. So now I have some stuff. I have some samples of things for those of you who are, I think I sent it to Paula. Paula, did you get it? I don't know if she did. But I talked to somebody, they have an Ayurvedic product that they've been using for blood sugar control. And it's been doing really well. It's got some things I know and some other weird, you know, Ayurvedic herbs that I'm not familiar with, but they're having good results. The unfortunate, the thing is it's in a capsule with 10 different things. So people are super sensitive, may or may not, but I do have samples.
Okay.
And I was expecting these little like plastic baggies full of samples. And he sent these bottles of 30 capsules. So I did send some to Paula. I don't know if she's still, I don't see her, but she might be eating.
Yeah, I got it.
I'll
talk to you about it when we talk.
Okay, good, good. I want to make sure we don't forget about that. So it's basically, I wanted to try it on people who are like, but sugar is like, it just stuck. And I think, Jay, you might be a good candidate too. It's like you're doing all this right stuff, but it just doesn't seem to be dropping as much as you think it should. And I'm happy to send it. So if anybody wants it, just put a note in the chat. And then, Angelica, if you don't mind just making a list of whoever says they want it, we'll make sure we get, when Scott gets back in town, we'll get him to send out some of those samples. But what I want is, you know, for you to just do some monitoring of your intake for a few days and don't change anything. And then don't change anything and just start taking this thing with one with each meal. I think it's what it says, one with each meal. And then do that for a few days and see if you notice the blood sugar starting to drop down. So, you know, it's a good thing for getting the A1C down and getting the blood sugar back down. The molybdenum.
That one is a surprise.
Yeah. And so molybdenum low can affect your detox pathways.
Exactly. That's the little note I put in there. What's really interesting is Self-Hacked had an article the other day on molybdenum. And I read it, and there was a link in there to the Self-Decode site with a certain gene that's extremely rare, and I mean super rare, less than 1% of the population has that gene. And it affects that MOLY pathway. And guess who has it?
Homozygous.
It also affects zinc, and that's one of my other problems. Although the zinc looks okay, my symptoms...
No, your hair zinc is... When hair zinc is high, it usually... It could be low. It's not super high. I was going to say that to Jeannie. The hair zinc being high really usually means it's low.
That one was a surprise. I actually made myself a little word processing document, and I sent it to Drina. I just pulled a lot of snips out of there because the Self-Decode is membership only. So I could only download the stuff off that and put it in the document. So I did. And if you want, I can copy that into my
tracker. Yeah, put it in your tracker or put it in your folder.
I'm talking less than 1%, and I have that small.
Okay.
All the stuff with cadmium from tobacco. So that pathway is really messed up for me. So another reason for me to get off the damn nicotine.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. That's a pathway you can monitor by getting those sulfite strips.
Oh, the sulfite strip. Okay.
The urine strips. And because the molybdenum, I don't have a picture of the pathway in front of me right now, but the molybdenum is in the pathway for converting sulfite to sulfate.
Okay.
And the buildup of sulfite, it means the molybdenum's low. So adding some molybdenum is going to help your detox pathways.
Yeah. And I had already started on them because something told me I needed them. But we've got molybdenum mine, the biggest molybdenum moly mine in the country is less than 30 miles away. We have it in our water. And that's what had my mind blown. But anyway, I've been taking these for months. There's some molybdenum drops, but I was taking one. It tastes like water. So Drina tried to calculate out how much I should take, and she went me up to like a milligram, and we figured I was going to have to go to tablets because I wasn't going to get it with the drops. So I said, well, until that gets here, why don't I just like take the drops until like I can taste it? And that'll at least be an increase of some kind. Of course, we know I have to go slow. So while I'm waiting for those tablets to get here, I'll use this.
Then
I have to buy drops, and I can taste it nasty. So she said, just stick with that for a while and we'll do this test again.
Okay. Yeah. And get the sulfite. They're like 10 bucks. You can get the urine strips.
Okay. I don't already have them. I will get them.
Okay. Yeah. And then that way you can tell if you're moving up and moving in the right direction.
Fantastic.
Okay. And then, medium's fine. Molybdenum. Iodine's a little on the low side. Have you done an iodine load? test?
No, I have not.
No, but the thing, let me just read about this. Wait, am I looking at the wrong one? They don't even mention iodine and lithium. Am I missing a page? 3, 4?
Nope.
There's the lithium. Yes.
Mine doesn't. It mentions the molybdenum, but it doesn't mention
it. It doesn't show iodine. I thought it mentioned it on. Let me look at Jeannie's. I thought it mentioned the iodine, not what it meant. Being low. Because a lot of them, they just don't have any clinical evidence as to what it really means. I think I read that they were just using it as a. Molybdenum. No, I must be thinking something else. Yeah, I mean, it's just barely in a low end, and I don't know that it really. If you want to know if you are low in iodine, you want to do an iodine load test.
Yeah. Right. Now, is that one of the self-test ones, or is that something I have to do?
Yeah, Hakala Labs, hakalalabs.com, and you just order it. But I would order the one that also has the other halides in it. Because what you want to look at is you're doing a spot and then the load. So you want to do the spot, the full test where it's the spot and then the 24 hour after the loading.
Okay.
And then what you want to see is how much of the, what's it called? Bromine, chlorine, and fluoride are actually increased when you take the iodine. That will tell you if you have some toxic stores and then, you know, because the high levels of iodine displaces that and lets it go. So I've seen people where their bromine was fine in their urine. It was like, you know, whatever, 0.1. And then they took this load of iodine and it shot way up, which means that there's some bromine and the iodine will help displace that.
Okay.
And that'll affect thyroid health as well.
Okay. My husband and I have been taking a product called ThyroSet by North American Urban Spice. It's the same people that make the P76 oregano oil.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taking that for years, and for some reason, I dropped it about a year ago. But my husband's still taking it.
Is it an iodine supplement?
It's a kelp.
Kelp. Okay. Yeah.
And I had dropped that, and my thyroid numbers were kind of low that first couple of tests that we did, but they're coming back into normal range now without that. So this
you can do it with just food based kelp, but. I mean, doing the test isn't a bad idea. I don't like to supplement iodine unless I've done the test.
Right. See, you know, once upon a time, we had also gotten this stuff called iodorol based on recommendations.
I wouldn't just take it unless you've done a test to show you're low because you can really mess yourself up by taking too much.
Yeah, and there has been occasions where I felt really low thyroidish, if you know what I mean, that low energy. And I've taken it a bit, but it's more like a pulsing, you know, or... You feel like you kind of tested, do I need this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll take it like for a short period of time, you know, just a small.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I, you know, forget that it's there. But if I start getting real thyroidy, you know, low energy, but like I said, for the last year, I haven't taken anything. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. It's barely, I don't know that this is that indicative, but it is, it's into the yellow. So.
Yeah.
The thing with lithium is interesting because lithium is important for B12 absorption.
Okay.
And they said it's normally found low. And they're really not certain that the hair means anything with it.
Yeah.
So,
that's,
you know.
That's one of those interesting ones. They've been finding that small dose of lithium is really helpful for the vets that have PTSD. It's actually more helpful than any other psych drugs. Mm-hmm. And I had been hearing about it. So when my son came home from the Marine Corps and was dealing with PTSD after two tours in Iraq, he was having trouble. They had him on a lot of psych drugs, but they were causing major issues. So I said, well, here, let me give you this stuff that Dr. Sherry Rogers was talking about.
Yeah, so it's lithium orotate. It's the low-dose lithium, not the prescription.
Yeah, it's like less than 5 milligrams or something, but it's apparently working much better. So anyway, I got some for my son, and he got off the drugs.
That's great.
Recovered, and he doesn't have to take it all the time, but it was enough to get him off the drugs. But they had him on Adderall, and they had him on like 3 different drugs, and he was bouncing all over the place, and he was just totally losing it. So anyway, mm-hmm. I did have an extra bottle in the house, so... I just thought, well, what the heck? I'll just take it. I mean, it's not like I haven't had any depression lately, you know?
And have you noticed any difference?
Not really. Not tremendously, but you know, the last week or two, I've really kind of picked up on energy from a lot of different sources. Mostly the joy and the hope is back. So it's, I don't know, the lithium might have something to do with it. It's been about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and as long as it's the ortate and not a too high level and you're tuned in, to see if, you know, switched on, whether you need it or not.
Right. Right. And so, you know, for now, I think I'll just go ahead and take it for a little while and see if I like it. And I'll probably pulse it and go off of it for a while sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, why not? I mean, like I said, I've been down so low for so long, and it's not going to hurt.
Right. Right. Yeah. Iron, I don't think hair iron is really indicative. I think we just use your serum iron and your ferritin to look at that.
And my yellow duck is all I'm taking for that anyway. So
okay.
And we finally got the ferritin and the iron actually in the right range. They're both in the green.
Yay!
Yeah, I've got my iron is at 130 and the ferritin is down under 100. I can't remember the exact number. So
awesome.
They're actually both in the right range right now. So
okay.
That's all yellow dock, one little weed.
It's magical.
It is magical. And I love this stuff.
It's magical.
So there's, I see a lot of good stuff here, but there was some surprises. So
yeah, I see a lot of good stuff here. The rubidium is just, they show it because if it's high, but being low doesn't mean anything.
Great. I'm good with that. Overall, right. Pretty good report. And I say, Lynn had some real interesting things to say about that little box down there with the ratios. But mine all appear to be in the normal range. So
they all appear to be in the normal range.
Right. The only thing that was off was those first four up there at the top, with the calcium and the magnesium being okay, but my sodium and potassium being in the toilet. So, but it was perfectly consistent with my blood test. So
yeah, and those are easy to get back in range. So
yeah, and the hydration is a big one. So once again, Drina emphasized. I need
hydration, all the foundational basic stuff.
Yeah, and most of what I need to fix right now is it's going to go away with the smoking.
Absolutely, so. I agree. So what else? Do you need support with that?
No, actually, like I said, yesterday with that new meter and being able to actually see every single day that it's working, that's going to keep me motivated.
Good.
So it's when you get down to those days when the cravings get to be too much and you just smoke that extra one or two, it's like, well, you know, I don't get the consequences right away. So, but you know, even on my blood test, those numbers are coming down a little bit, but they're going to start dropping even more.
How many a day are you doing?
Less than 15 is my limit right now. And then I'm going to slowly move it down a week at a time. By one or two, so I'm not going to do it too fast. But like, I'm getting to the point now, especially like say when I can see these results every morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday after the crawl, I went out and I spent some time in the garden, and I had the weirdest experience. I was bending over doing some harvesting, getting my vegetables for lunch and dinner, and when I stood back up, I couldn't breathe. It was like somebody like knocked the wind out of me and I could not breathe. Mm-hmm. And I spent the rest of the evening having trouble catching my breath. I was short of breath. And I thought, well, this is really bizarre. Because I mean, I didn't smoke very much yesterday. It was under my limit. I was under because I was so motivated. And all night I had that feeling that every time I got up, I was like, why can't I catch my breath? And so when I did my test this morning, sure as heck, and I don't know why this happened, but my numbers were right back up into the 50s. And in fact, the hemoglobin was 19.
19?
Yeah, and the hematocrit was 52. So it bumped up, and after that beautiful day I had yesterday morning. So I don't know what it was that happened yesterday, but I feel a bit much better now. I mean, once I got up, got moving this morning, got my smoothie for breakfast, and you know, I've been on a good program again today. I'm not smoking very much, so.
Okay. Well, I want to see you down to. I want to see when we can set a goal for when you're down to zero.
Yeah, amen to that. That would be.
You were getting headaches before, and that's what interfered. How low did you have to go to get the headaches before?
when I get down below 5, that's when it gets to the headache time.
Okay. So you can keep going until you get to 5 and then move very, very carefully at that point.
Yeah. And I was down there back in January and February. But then the stress started with going to Twin Falls to the hematologist, and my stress level just went up, and I just said, oh, forget this. Mm-hmm. I've got to deal with the stress, and that's the only thing that'll bring down the stress. For some strange reason, I don't know why, nicotine almost acts like a tranquilizer for me.
And what else can be a tranquilizer for you?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. The thing is, nicotine is usually a stimulant. And as far as,
a lot of people do smoke for relaxation. So there's more to it than the pure effects of that.
Yeah.
What about some of your tinctures, like a lemon balm or a milky oat? Or
I'm still working on that. I haven't found the right combination yet, but I do try just about everything I hear. So if you think of something else, just drop me a note or something.
Magnolia.
Oh, I'm taking that at night for sleep. That's helping me sleep.
Try taking it if you're during the day and you're feeling stress coming on.
A couple of drops. It will
drop the cortisol levels.
Okay. Oh, that's a great idea. It's very pleasant tasting, so I don't have a problem with that. I only took it at night now because I'm thinking of it as a sleep thing.
But if you're starting to feel stressed, it means your cortisols are going up. Yeah. It's a perfect time to take it.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Just keep encouraging me.
Keep encouraging you. I will keep encouraging you.
Yeah. And one thing is, don't let me get too quick with things.
Yeah.
We had a little setback this last month. We started going a little too quick with adding too many things at one time, and I had a little bit of a setback. And so we had to back off. We tried to start increasing the gut protocol stuff to kill off the H. pylori. We tried to start increasing 2 months of having really smooth sailing. So we tried to incrementally start increasing, and it backfired.
I'm wondering if you get the molybdenum levels up. Get the sulfate strips just to see. I'm just wondering if you get the molybdenum up, if that will help. Because when you start to kill off the gut bugs, they're producing their LPS, they're releasing LPS and other endotoxins, and then it exceeds your body's capacity to handle it. That can get through the gut lining and into the bloodstream.
Okay. So I wonder if that might be it. Okay.
That might do it. Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely get the sulfite stuff and sulfate strips. Sulfite.
Yeah, get them. It's cheap. It's easy. It's, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, my next one is, I'm going to mark them off as I do them. So Diana's done. I'll just mark you in yellow that you're done. And Kathy is done. And where's Jay is done. And is Marcia added to here? Can you add Marcia to here, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so next would be Paula. All right, Paula, you ready? We catch you in the middle of lunch?
Nope, I'm done.
Okay, good. All right, so let me look at my notes. You wanted to, So that was Jay. Let me go back to Paula. Okay. So what is your priority? Let's first talk about the Mensa clinic thing, and then we can look at the biome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Bowman reviewed my oat, and she had not gotten the results yet. She hadn't looked at the results yet of the stool test, so she was going on some things from the oat. And she actually looked at the whole oat. Typically, they only want to look at the bacterial part of it. But based on a number of the markers, she's going to be adding some things to my protocol. One of them is folinic acid.
Thank you very much. Finally.
Yeah. I left a little pregnant pause there because, Right. So folinic acid, because, well, in the beginning, she thought that I would be getting enough folate from the foods that I've been eating, you know, all the greens and all of that. But over time, it looks like that's not enough. And based on my genetics, she felt like folinic acid would be the best form in, you know, instead of methyl folate. So that's what she's going to.
She's going to put it in the protocol, or are you going to have it separate so that you can titrate?
It's going to be in the protocol. Yeah.
You know what amount she recommended?
600 micrograms.
Okay.
400 is the RDA.
Yeah.
And she thought maybe that wouldn't be enough. So.
Okay. All right. I definitely that's the way to do it. If it was methyl, I would be like, no, don't. Right. Because if you're going to do methyl, I would be doing drop doses very slowly to find your dose. But with the folinic acid, it's unlikely to create the backup of methyl groups and, you know, the COMT aggravation and all that. So, okay.
And she agreed to increasing the vitamin A, which you had requested.
Good.
And increasing chromium.
Good.
Adding a little manganese. I have not had any of that.
Okay.
And then based on that marker that has to do with the ketones, you know, and not absorbing or not whatever it is with fatty acids, carnitine.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I think there was something else, but
B2.
I can't remember.
B2.
Well, I'm staying at B2 for now that I'm already doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she know how much you're doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's okay with that. Okay. Got it. All right. So good. So she's going to add these to your protocol, the A, the C, the chromium, the manganese, and the carnitine.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that has to do with the mitochondria, and I can't remember what that was.
It wouldn't be CoQ10 because you're already on that.
Yeah, I'm already on that. Yeah,
acetyl-L-carnitine, carnitine, manganese, B2,
yeah,
NAD. You're already doing NAD.
No.
Is it NAD?
No. I would recognize that. It was another acetyl something or another, I think.
And it's not CoQ. Okay. Wow. Okay. So that'll go in effect when? When do you get the new formula?
Well, see, that's the thing. She'll go over the stool test. And then the way things work with them, it can take 6 weeks for them to come back with their recommendations and change things. So, right, it's going to be possibly that long before anything is changed.
So what about, how does she feel about you just going, I mean, since these are pretty clear, just going ahead and doing some of these supplementations, especially the folinic acid and the vitamin A.
Adding them on my own?
Yeah.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind. I didn't ask, you know, that.
Yeah, I would ask. And the carnitine may really bump up your energy because it's going to bump up the Krebs cycle. The chromium, you know, maybe. How much more was she going to add, like a couple hundred?
Yeah, I think another couple hundred. I'm on 400 right now. Yeah.
And that could help with the blood sugar. That would be an easy one to bump up since you're already taking it. And you can just, oh, no, you're just taking it in the formula?
It's in the protocol, right? Okay. Yeah, 200 twice a day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ones that I would see would give you the most, especially if it was going to be 2 weeks, it's one thing. But 6 weeks is a long time.
I know.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time. And if you were to get a carnitine, I mean, you could get one. Enough to last you for 6 weeks of all of these. And then just have the convenience, of course, of having it in the formula.
Yeah.
So that would be a phone call to them and ask them, tell her I'm going to go ahead and do this and verify the doses that she said that she was going to bump it up.
Right.
I know it's extra stuff to take, but,
mm-hmm.
but it may, if it's going to bump up your energy, right. I mean, I think folinic acid has been low. It's shown up several times as low. and the homocysteine being slightly high. And we know you're on lots of B6 and your MMA is fine. So
right.
B12 is fine. So the folate keeps showing up on the oat.
Right.
Yeah. It could definitely increase your energy. So that would be my recommendation. We'd be chat with her about you doing some supplementation there.
Right. Okay.
If you're up to it, but you know, your goal is energy. So.
Yeah. And because of the high oxalates, she talked about lowering my C, my vitamin C. And I said, no. So she's not going to lower that.
Okay. So your oxalates, you're not having specific high oxalate symptoms, right? You're not having vulvar pain. You're not having the crystals in your eyes.
Yeah. Well, what's her name? Owens in Susan Owens, the expert in oxalates. They all say that you shouldn't be taking more than 250 milligrams of C a day if you've got oxalate issues. but that explanation on the oat says that it takes like 5 grams to get up to a problem. So
yep.
I feel like my immune system needs the 2000 that I'm on right now. And so she's going to leave that alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there C in the protocol? And then
that's where it is. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she's going to leave it for you. She's going to leave the C.
She's going to leave it. After 2.5 years, there are certain things she just trusts me
to argue with you.
Yeah. Decide.
Yeah. I think, you know, potentially increasing the B6, we did see a couple of things in there that were B6 markers that, you know, could go either way. That could help to suck out some of the extra oxalates and magnesium. Although I don't know how much magnesium.
Yeah, I've got a lot of magnesium going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe the B6. Did she get the test results back for the copper and the zinc ratio?
No, see, I just had the blood draw for that yesterday, so.
We won't know that for a little bit.
2 days before any of that comes back, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I also talked to her about your idea of the fasting mimicking diet, and she liked that idea, as long as it's individualized for me.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely individualize it for you.
You and I talked about that on a call.
Yep.
Yeah, so got the green light for that.
Okay, so we'll look at that, and you have a date, like when you're going to be around, because you don't want to be traveling, you don't want to have appointments, you just want to do it when you can really.
Yeah, I can start at any time. I'm not going to be traveling in September.
Okay, we'll look at September then.
Yeah.
I'll get my travel schedule and make sure, but I'll look at that, and we'll put something together for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That'll be good.
Yeah.
All right.
And I did get the Curalin that you sent me. And I started out with just one after each meal. And there were a couple of meals where I really thought it was making a difference, you know, like 15 to 20 points different.
Wow.
It didn't seem like fasting wasn't any different. It didn't seem
no.
like.
Well,
my fasting has settled back down again into the 80s, mid 80s, most of the time, or, you know, close to 90. But then today I decided to take 2 of them after lunch, and I rode my bike. And when I checked, it was 129, and I thought, oh, that's weird. You know, so I'm not sure at this point whether it's making a difference or not.
Mm-hmm. I would just take it, do it long enough. Just go through the 2.
Yeah.
I sent you 2 bottles, right?
No, 1 bottle.
I sent you 1. Oh, that's right. Cause I was going to send you 2 and I thought, oh, you're so sensitive. What if, but I can send you more and we can just do it for a little bit longer period of time and see if you're open to doing that. Just cause you really can't tell on something for 3 days. I mean, sometimes you see a dramatic change, but I think, you know, going longer and if you are going to see a change in the fasting, that would take longer to shift. You know, we know the fasting takes the longest to shift, and it could be that you just over-exercised because you did it after the bike, you know?
typically doing the bike will, I'll have a lower reading, you know, the exercise, and I did not do it harder than usual with that biking. No.
Was there any less sleep last night than?
Not last night. And of course, last night was after the trip down to the clinic to see them. So, you know, I was kind of wound up, but no, sleep was actually better last night.
We'll check it out for longer and see how it goes. Right. Yeah, maybe the one. Just stick to the one. Maybe the, who knows, your sweet spot might be one.
Yeah, who knows?
It gets down to we make educated guesses and then we, you know, we pray. You know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It all made a lot of sense to me. And when he sent me this big box of it to test out on people, I'm like, okay, I'm going to test it out on people. I don't have any vested interest in it working or not working. I'm looking for people to do it with. And I have to remember who I sent it to somebody in. I can't remember who I sent it to. I have to remember who I sent it to. Somebody in Sweet Spot who was really having, you know, some plateau issues. And I thought it would be helpful. So.
There were a lot of great testimonials on the website. By people who are taking medications for type 2 diabetes and we're having terrific results. And so I was really hopeful.
Yeah. I would give it longer. Yeah. Just give it longer, at least go through the whole bottle and we'll see. Right. Because blood sugar is so variable anyway.
Yes.
You know, you may be stable, and then you boom, boom, stable. And because there's so many factors that, play in, right? Even just getting in a car and driving and having exhaust fumes or being stuck in traffic. I mean, there's so many things that muck with our blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to look at the biome real quick? Or you want to, is it on there? Let's see, Paula.
Yeah, it's in my drive.
P. It's Paula. That's Jeannie. Here's Paula P. All right. So it would be under, nope, that's not it. Paula. P-A. Okay. So I had these open. Maybe they're all over. I have too many open at the same time. Reports.
Yes.
And 2019 and Viome. That's 2715.
Yeah, that's the recommendations. You might want to look at there's two separate PDFs. One of them is the recommendations. That's the whole food thing, you know, and the other PDF is the,
Okay. I'm only seeing the one.
Huh? Cause they were both there when I put them in there.
If you're watching, Diana, this is the name of the lab that does the iodine load. No, I don't see it. Maybe it went into a different. So this is just what they say in terms of these are your superfoods and these are your whatevers, right?
Right, yeah.
Did it change much?
It did, actually. Mm-hmm.
Apple.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Huh.
Asparagus.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting because the gut analysis shows that I've got issues with oxalates, which, like I said, that correlates with the oat.
Right.
And asparagus is a higher ox vegetable, mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. Black beans have been a superfood all along, but this whole bone broth thing is completely new.
Huh.
To get glutamine.
Interesting. Brazil nuts is a superfood. Was that?
That's been there all along, but cabbage is a new one.
Chard is super high oxalate.
Exactly. I thought, what? Yeah, that's what got me into trouble 3 years ago was eating a lot.
Yeah, like it grows so prolifically, like so many people just like eat a ton of it in the summer. You have a lot of superfoods this time. I don't remember having that many.
I don't think I had that many. And cocoa is a superfood.
What is cocoa?
Cocoa.
Woohoo. Lucky you.
Well, that's another high ox thing.
That's oxalate, right? Exactly. And it's also high arginine.
And high histamine as well.
Histamine. So that's what I don't understand there, how they do this. Like a ton is, everything's a superfood.
But it explains on the, with the superfoods and the avoid things, it does give you an explanation about what about them.
All right.
Is good or not. And yeah. And how that correlates to your gut.
Okay. Well, I want to see that. It looks like it's not here. Let's, we'll do that on another call. Well, or at least get it to me so I can review it and we can talk about it. Cause I think, I want to read through it since it's a new format.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. It must have just not gotten uploaded unless it uploaded to the main.
No. I'm puzzled because they were both there when I looked.
That's weird. That's very weird. Okay.
And you don't have access to my main drive, just the shared.
Well, your main drive, like your drive, my drive, like mine is my drive here that nobody else has access to but me.
Right,
My but you could move it. You can go in there right now and just move it over, copy it over. To the Paula drive.
Yeah. Now, when you're sharing, I don't have access to my button to look at my Windows. That's the thing. So you would have to stop sharing for me to access.
Oh, okay.
I can do it.
Yeah. Sure. Stop share. I see. And at least get it up there, load it up there. That way I'll look at it. I'll take time to look at it. And I saw that she responded to me, but I've been waiting to hear back from Fiona.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. To see what I want to know where she wanted me to send it. Okay, good. She gave me her email address. So I'll send that to her this evening and we'll see what she has to say.
All righty.
Yeah, and then I'm going to give you the email for Dr. Khan and in case one of your family members does want to.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Here's chat, and I'll just send it to Paula. DRKAHN. At kahncenter.com. Okay. Let me double check. Oops, it's all caps, but I think you'll still be able to read it.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah. And just tell them that I referred you to.
Right.
You can write to them first and say, I don't know if these folks are going to write to you, but this is maybe even give them a heads up on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he knows, and then give it to your family members.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Check it out. Okay, good. Okay. All right. So put it up there and then I'll look at it. And we're going to be putting together, it'll help to have that, to be able to put together the fasting mimicking custom mm-hmm. for you, make sure that the avoids are missing and the superfoods are, where possible there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to make a note for Paula to custom fasting mimicking diet. The Eat While Fasting program.
Right.
All right. Okay. So next, I think next is probably Jeannie.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Claudia requested to go last if we can.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, she may have to fight Marcia for that. Like Marcia,
no.
She'll go if Marcia's back, not back. All right, so there's Paula. I got Paula done. Kimberly is not here. Did Kimberly ever show up?
Not that I can tell.
Okay, so we're going to go to Jeannie. All right, and I know I have your stuff open, Jeannie. At least I did earlier. This is Paula. There's Jeannie. All right, so let's pause biome. Paula, leave that open so I can check. There's Jeannie's, there's your thing. There's your toxics, right? Okay, there we go. And then I also had your Dutch open because I wanted to verify a couple of things. Okay, good. All right, ready? I don't know if I'm not sharing. Am I good to share?
Yeah, you can share.
Okay. And so we reviewed your toxics the other day. You did confirm that there was titanium in the hair dye. That arsenic can be in water or shellfish or specific insecticides. And we, you know, asked you to check out what was in the stuff that the lawn people might be doing. A mercury. And the other thing about mercury can suppress selenium function. And then when I looked at your most recent lab, that's Paula. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Okay. When I looked at your most recent lab, your free T3 had gone down a pinch, just slightly below the optimal range. Where'd it go? And I just wonder if the arsenic is a new exposure that might have dropped, that might have interfered with the selenium in that conversion.
Okay.
Although the mercury's been there for a long time in your dental amalgams. So it just might be, you know, creeping up in terms of its effect. Okay, so we talked about the mercury, we talked about the platinum, we talked about uranium in fertilizers, and they recommend that urine or fecal exposure if we're concerned, but I think that that was only a tiny bit. That was barely up there. So again, going back to what do you do about this? Why does it say there was a problem? Huh. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So in terms of the metals, you know, these toxics, it's like I identify the exposures, which we talked about, we eliminate the exposures, and then how do we get some of the residues out? And we talked about the citrus pectin. Do you feel comfortable with that? The Pectisolve? Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we're good to go on that. So looking at your non-toxics, can't keep track of all this stuff. There we go. And again, I sometimes do things the old-fashioned way, so I printed it out and made notes on it, because going back and forth on here was a little challenging. So we got that. We got that. calcium is good. The magnesium is slightly in the high. It was very much in the high range. That it's rare to have too much magnesium in the body. The hair, the first thing you want to do anytime on hair that you see minerals there is to rule out, is there an exposure from something, from a shampoo, from a hair dye, from an environmental exposure that's getting it into the system. So, again, I would say asking about what's in that hair thing, because magnesium is a common one to be in there as well. And there was one other that was high that was, I think I wrote in there, hair. High in blood two, adrenal. So there's copper. Cobalt, your cobalt's high. And cobalt's oftentimes used in colors.
Okay.
In hair dye colors.
Would any of these have to do with
the chemotherapy?
I doubt it.
It shouldn't. Okay.
It shouldn't.
And then also, just so you know, I also had the, and I don't know if that's the same, but I also had the magnesium tested, like on the blood work. That's something you wanted to compare.
Yeah. It was it a red blood cell magnesium?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Let's look at it. And it, I think you put them at the bottom, right?
I did. Yeah. It's 5.6, but it.
What was the range? Or is that in the, is it, was that on the Allen Hopkins one?
Yes.
It says 4.0
to
6.4.
4.0
to 6.4 was his range. And yours is?
5.6.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not, it's showing that it's in a good ideal range.
So yeah. So I didn't know how, you know, if that was different.
I think that, well, the standard of care, it says at the end of this thing, you know, you read this stuff about the hair and it goes, really the way to know is red blood cell magnesium.
Okay.
So if that red blood cell magnesium is normal, I'm not going to be worried about this, but I think looking at your hair care products, looking at specifically the dyes is where you get a lot of these minerals and things that are used in the coloring agent.
Okay.
Okay, so that's magnesium. Now, the sodium low, high and the potassium low is an indication of, and it's matched up in your blood. So it's identical pattern in your blood is...
Yeah, remember the sodium was high.
Sodium high, and the potassium isn't low, but it's at the low end compared to so the ratio of them is off. So that's usually an indication of adrenals.
Okay.
I mean, it could be dehydration. And there was one other thing that showed dehydration, but I'm not seeing a lot of markers for dehydration here. And that's why I had your Dutch out, because I wanted to verify on your Dutch. Yes, your adrenals were low, but high towards the end of the day. Your free is low. Your total is low.
Let's see, I had...
Do you salt your food or do you avoid it or do you just not pay attention to it?
I do some... I don't do it all the time, but I do some of the sea salt, the Himalayan sea salt or the, you know, pink salt. Sometimes I'll put that in, but I don't do that all the time.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea to do.
Okay.
I mean, the sodium is high, but usually the excretion of the sodium is high because the blood levels are low. Let me think. Wait a minute. I think I just said that backwards. This is hair. I'm confused. I'm confused with the urine. No, it's hair. Your blood pressure tends to be where?
It goes all over. I mean, most of the time it's just normal, but when I go to the doctor, it's usually
high.
Okay. So yeah, it can move. It can move fast.
One thing you might consider is adding like a potassium salt. You can see there, you can buy them as a salt.
Okay.
Check to see if there's a brand that doesn't have, you know, like dextrose and other things added to it, or just a potassium as a liquid supplement.
Okay.
Right. Even though the potassium isn't low in the blood, it's on the low end compared to the sodium, and it could help to restore the balance.
Okay. So just for potassium salt or liquid.
Or liquid potassium.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good State has it. Trace Minerals Research has it. There's a number of them that have it.
How much should I take?
I wouldn't take a lot. I would take maybe 100 milligrams.
Okay. Okay. Yep. You can do that.
The copper, could be pipes. The copper could be from your hair dyes. So again, I would look at the ingredients in there.
Okay.
And see what's showing up. You know, pools, swimming in pools, hot tubs, and copper pipes. But you have a relatively new house, don't you?
Yes.
They don't usually do copper pipes anymore. They usually do PVC. And you're filtering your water.
Yeah.
You're not supplementing with copper.
No.
No. Yeah, I think it's probably the external.
I'm not sure it's not.
With the zinc is usually high in the hair when it's low in the system. Zinc is not good. It's not really accurate when measured in the serum, but if it's measured in the red blood cells or white blood cells, it's more accurate. But you have an indicator, a functional indicator for low zinc, which is alkaline phosphatase.
I actually had that one tested too.
Zinc?
Yes.
Okay, let me look. But if you look here,
I'll hear it.
Alkaline phosphatase is, and it's been low all along, borderline. It's just an indication of a low level of zinc.
Okay. So I just need to up that a little.
I need to up your zinc a little bit.
Okay.
What's the range on the zinc here?
60 to 130. 60. And mine was 76.
So on the low end.
Yeah.
And then what did you say the magnesium was for?
Six,
right?
I think it's 5.6.
Yours is 5.6, but the range was 4 to 6?
Yes, 4.0 to 6.4.
Okay. And then selenium, I'm not sure if this was, does it say on there whether it was tested in the blood or whether it was tested in the serum? I mean, white blood cells or red blood cells?
It does not. The magnesium had a red blood cell behind it. This one doesn't have anything behind it.
So it's probably serum. Okay. What's the range on the selenium?
63 to 160 mcg.
To 160. Okay. Yeah, you're right in the range for that. So I would say based on this and based on the low, it's borderline low phosphatase, just to up your zinc. You're taking, I think you're taking 30. I don't know if it's up to date, but you're taking liquid zinc assay, 1 teaspoon at your meal twice a day. Premier has about 10. So you're taking 20 milligrams a day.
Actually, I think we just upped that. To 2. I was taking 1 teaspoon of the liquid.
Okay. You were taking one once a day and now you're taking it twice a day?
Yes. We just now, that would have been after the
blood. After the test. Okay. That's fine then.
So take it twice a day.
Take it twice a day.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that should do it. again, we get into manganese can be usually an external contaminant.
Taking that, does that make a difference or not?
You're not taking it. Is that what you mean?
No, I am taking manganese.
Oh, you are. Separate manganese?
Okay. Yeah, I take that every day.
Manganese. I would decrease it.
Okay.
Are you just taking you're taking 1-3 times a week?
No, it should be. I take it once a day.
Okay. So it says here on your form once a week, 3 times a week, 10 milligram gel cap from Thorn.
Well, maybe that's what I should have been taking it. I was taking it every day. Maybe Drina told me to take it 3 times a week and I just
miss that part. Yeah, I would drop it to the 3 times a week.
Okay, that's probably what I should have been.
Yeah, I'd drop it to the 3 times a week. That's probably Okay. Not a problem. Chromium is low, and your blood sugar is a little higher than I expected based on the readings you were telling me about on your Keto Mojo.
And I don't know if it's a difference, and I used the Keto Mojo, but I did check it that morning because I just wanted to know what it would, you know, if it was going to be the same. And I do know that some of it is, you know, me, because they took 18 or 19 tubes of blood. And so I was like freaked out when she first told me. She was like, I think I can get that much from you. She's like, I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
I think I was like really nervous.
You were stressed. Yeah.
I made it go up.
Yeah, because your A1C wasn't bad. It was 5.2, I think.
But it was 83 when I checked it that morning.
When you checked it that morning, not uncommon for it to go up 10 points when you get to the lab. You could do the thing where you check it right before they take your blood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But the other piece of that I wanted to tell you is I'm not taking very much chromium right now. I take it like, it's a 200. I just take one a day. So I could probably
up it to two a day.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that here. You're taking chromium, yeah. Here it says 200, 1 to 3 times a day. So you were taking one, and I'm
mostly taking it one because my numbers were staying pretty good. So
yeah, I would increase it to two. I would love to see that the A1C come down even lower, like to 4.8.
Okay.
Yeah. And to be consistently, you know, seeing this number in the low 80s.
Right.
Even high 70s.
Okay.
Okay. It's chromium. You know, your vanadium is low too, and vanadium controls blood sugar. I'm not sure where, I don't want you to take a supplement to that. I usually reserve that for people who are having like really serious diabetes type of stuff, because it does have some kidney issues and you don't want to take it for very long. But radishes are a good source of vanadium. Nuts are a good source of vanadium. So you can look at that. You can do a chronometer. And then look to see what foods are you eating right now that are good in vanadium. And about 20 micrograms, so anywhere from, I would say, 20 to 200 micrograms, somewhere in that range to target for.
Okay.
Molybdenum we talked about with Diana. And yours is low as well, and that can affect your detox pathways. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to get those sulfite strips on Amazon and just start checking, but molybdenum can be helpful in that conversion. Could help increase your energy, decrease brain fog, and increase overall your detox pathways.
So you use strips and they would tell you.
I would tell you, usually if you have a functional molybdenum deficiency, you're going to see the high sulfites.
Okay.
Sulfites. I-T-E-S. Sulfites.
Sulfites.
Okay. Yeah.
And then that way you would know that you need to go ahead and supplement it.
Yeah, that you might need some supplementation for a while. Okay. Let me just look at your uric acid. Your uric acid is okay. I'm just looking at some of the pathways that it affects and other things we can look here. You know, and going back, I know more towards Diana, but one of the causes of real a molybdenum deficiency is the gut. And you've been trying to work on your gut for a long time.
I have a stool test here, and I was going to do it after our vacation. And once I got home, I realized you have to be off of probiotic for 2 weeks to do it. And so that's why I haven't sent it yet.
Okay. So once you get that, we'll see what's going on with the gut because it could be related, and then get the sulfite strips, and then you'll be able to monitor that to see. And if it is high, then we could start to supplement. But as you get your gut healed, you may not need it. But then we can watch with the sulfite strips and see, oh, okay, good. It's going in the right direction.
Okay.
Or maybe you need more.
Okay.
It's a very cheap, inexpensive, easy way to do it.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask on the P5P, I'm taking 25, and I think I have a little bit in my multivitamin, And, but I didn't know if I should take 25 or 50 of that one. I have in my multivitamin, I have 10.
You have 10 in your multi. So then that means you're taking 35, right?
Right.
All right. So let's look at, is this you? Yeah. Okay. Your B6 markers on your Dutch, the organic acid markers, are fine. On your blood, what we're seeing is, this is you again, yeah. Let me look at your AST, ALT. I think you're probably fine with what you're taking.
Okay.
No, I don't think you need more. The zinc, I definitely would want you to increase.
Okay.
The chromium increase, the manganese decrease, and the C. You're taking a teaspoon of liposomal once a day?
Yes.
Can you bump that up to 3 times a day?
Okay.
Or add another, I know it's expensive to do the liposomal. It's like, you know, $1 a dose. But if you want to do the one liposomal, and I always tell people, take as much of the liposomal as you can afford and then fill in the rest with the, you know, the buffered sea powder. So it's up to you.
I have that too. Okay. So
but I would get it up to 3 grams a day to support your adrenals.
Okay.
And your immune system.
Okay. Yep. I can do that.
Okay. And then yeah, I think that's it on there. And I had printed off this because I was comparing, and it was easier to look at it. It's really hard to see the whole thing on the screen easily. But the ones, sodium has been consistently a little on the high side. Yeah, globulin just globulin from the, so the protein looks good. The globulin is a little bit low. And let's see what shows up for your inflammation, your stool test to see.
Okay.
Gut stuff. Alkaline we talked about. You know, I want to look at your other test because your cholesterol is high. It's 227 and your LDLs are high. But your triglycerides are decent. Your HDLs are decent. Like they're, you have a 1-to-1 ratio there. So those are good. And then we'll look at your other markers in a minute, your advanced lipid markers, because they're actually not bad.
I know. I think some of that, I can't remember which one right now, but I do remember I have a genetic piece in there that for the LDL.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. And your C-reactive protein is fine. Let me see your homocysteine again. Your homocysteine.
7.
So your homocysteine is okay. 7.7. So it is a little bit higher.
Okay.
I'm thinking in terms of the B6 folate. What are you taking? Are you taking folate B12?
I'm taking the I think I'm taking the Quicksilver.
Okay. Look, it's B12.
Okay.
MMA. So, whatever B12 you're taking, I think you need more.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
B12.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that should bring down that homocysteine.
Okay.
But this confirms it's B12.
And then you were saying folate. Is that something
I know? You know, I think in general, going back to your MTHFRs, I think they're hetero, right? Because I'd like to think you're getting enough from your food.
Yes, I had one of the C, what is that, 6?
C677T. That's what I was thinking. You have a heterozygous, not a homozygous, yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. pretty sure. But I think you had some B. There we are. You know, it's possible that that a little bit of folate would help. Let me look at your COMTs. COMT. Yeah, find on your COMTs.
I'll turn my light on. I take the Seeking Health multivitamin powder, and in that I get 400 of the folate.
400 micrograms of folate, B and methylfolate?
Yes.
I think that that's probably enough.
Okay.
But let's see what happens with upping the B12 and then doing homocysteine again and MMA again.
Okay.
Yes. I just want you taking like so much stuff. Like if you can cover it in a base of a multi, and then if it's not working, then we can increase it.
And what did you say to do again? The homocysteine and the MMA?
MMA and homocysteine.
We'll do those again.
Okay. Yeah, let me look at your beef. Okay, here we go. White blood cells. Am I in the wrong person? Oh, Jeannie. Okay. Red blood cells. This is an indication that, you know, it's always been high. Is it dehydration? But that's where I was starting to talk about the vitamin C deficiency. I don't think it's high enough to be polycythemia vera. This is really borderline. It could be dehydration. You had another indicator that could have been dehydration. And it could be vitamin C. So let's address it with the vitamin C. And the next time you do a CBC, we'll see. It is coming down from where it was. So I don't think polycythemia vera.
Because I probably wasn't taking that before. And then,
Yeah, your MCV has come down. I think probably you're fine with the folate and the B6 where it is and just add the B12.
Okay.
It's on these numbers.
Okay.
Okay, and then let's look at your it was the 2019 lab. It was in the lab results, right? Where the advanced was. That's where I looked before. Type in your
02.
Yeah, I got it. I won't forget it now. I have my little mnemonic for remembering it, so to speak. So his range is a lot higher. This is the standard lab range, not your LabWorks range. It's Quest lab range. So, you know, it's not going to flag it, but I think I'd like to see the homocysteine lower than that, like 7. And the white blood cell count, we already talked about that the range is getting lower and lower, and that I don't think it's a problem, but we'll keep monitoring it.
Okay.
Platelet count is barely borderline. Those are a little bit low just because the total is low, but the ratios are fine. Sex hormone binding globulin. That's an interesting one. That's a protein carrier that will carry testosterone and estrogen around through the system. So you can have a normal level in your system as long as you're testing like the total, but have symptoms of low because a lot of it's bound to the protein and not being released at the tissue level.
Okay.
But given your history of breast cancer, that might be something that your body's doing to protect you from the excess estrogen in your blood affecting your tissues. So it's not something I would want to mess with.
Okay.
Find a shift. It's just a little bit high. Because you don't want to mess with doing things that would effectively increase the estrogen in your blood with a history of breast cancer.
Okay.
Your insulin's a little higher than I would like it to be. which would explain sometimes when you've said you're really good when you're eating really well, but then when you had what, oatmeal or something, and it shot your sugar up, you're making a lot of insulin, so your cells are resistant, and you know, I'd like to see that getting lower. So I think the chromium might be helpful there, and then just sticking with what you know works for you and avoiding the stuff that doesn't, and see if you can get that down a little bit. These are okay. So here we go. Here's the cardiac one. So it's really just the LDLs, because the particle numbers, but if you look at the ApoB is a little bit high. ApoA is good, and that one is the most dangerous one. That's the one that's the scary one when it's high. C-reactive protein is really good. Your vitamin D is really good. Your particle, your score on the particles they give you, where is that? Right? LDL pattern is A, which is the best pattern. So even though it's high, it's still a good, it's a good pattern. ApoB. And we talked last time when we got this back about your omega-3s. I'm looking to see how much you're taking on your omega-3s. Omega, here we go, 3 dropper. How much do you know? Oh, it's the Diva. And you're taking 2 to 3 droppers a day. The only one out of range, the ApoB. Because your ratios here are looking good and you're a little higher than I would like. Like a 6-3 ratio is good. So looking to see if we're missing anything. Because your particle numbers are right on. Exercise. Are you consistent with your exercise?
I haven't been. That's something I've dropped off. I was doing really, really good. And I think we kind of, that was part of, with Drina, we stopped that when I was having a lot of adrenal issues. And so, you know, I was still doing some like more walking, but not really. I used to do jogging and, you know, some running and, you know, so it's dropped way off from what I used to do.
Well, I think you can find a bigger, you know, find that medium ground.
I think so.
Right? Because I think that that's going to lower the ApoB.
Yeah.
Let me just see herbs. Good jog my memory system. Causes of apoprotein B. I wonder if getting the those detox pathways, getting the molybdenum up might help this. Genetics. I think we looked this up at one point. You don't drink coffee.
I don't do any eggs.
No eggs. Insulin resistance. So the chromium could be helpful there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing that. You're not doing that. Coffee. And you're sleeping, right?
Yeah, I again used to be better at that. I just started back again trying to. I used to be very good at like 10 to 6 was my sleep time.
Right. What got you off of that?
I don't know. It was always a little bit later and a little bit later, and so I was going to bed more like 11:30 or. You know, sometimes midnight. And
okay. So are you committed to get back on your sleep and back on your exercise?
Exercise and sleep, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? That along with the increase your chromium, increase your zinc, increase your B12, and increase your C, and decrease your manganese.
Yes. Okay. What is it? C and B12. Yes, I got all those.
Yeah, because overall, I think these aren't looking bad, and this is the main score that I really am most concerned with. If I can find it again, there's so many open. That was Paula's. Oh, it might still be in this one. I didn't open it all the way. There we go. I didn't open it in a new tab. This is the number that I'm mostly concerned about on here. Not that that everything isn't important, but this, where'd it go? This number, this LDL pattern, you're an A. That's your best score, right? LDL peak size, you're 224. A is greater than 222. So you're right there at the edge, but your sizes, you don't have those, you know, little bitty, tight, dense particles. You've got the right size particles. The buoyance. It's just to look at the apolipoprotein B, which isn't as problematic as the A.
So trying to get that number down.
Yeah, just trying to get that number down. Because of the genetic, I think it's. I don't think it's what you're eating because you're eating pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating fish periodically. Are you eating red meat on a regular basis?
Mm-mm.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Right. So just fish occasionally. So I don't think it's from the food. I think that working on getting the glucose numbers better, like if you've been off of, cause you've been traveling and all not checking as well, just like really getting it back with the target of keeping the ketones higher, the glucose lower. A little bit of intermittent fasting like you were doing before could be helpful.
Yeah, that was a question I had. Do you think that's a good idea for me to?
Yeah, but I would play with it to see if you're a early intermittent faster or a late intermittent faster.
Okay.
Because some people don't do well skipping breakfast. They do better if they have breakfast and, you know, a lunch and an early dinner, right? Stop eating by 4. And then fast all the way through till the morning. So just play with it and see which way you feel better, which way your numbers look better.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
All right. Great.
Yeah. All in all, it was, you know, it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Better than they were before.
So. Better than they were before. You're moving in the right direction, you know.
That's right.
Right. I know we all want perfection, but it's definitely better than it was.
No, right. What's interesting is that I always feel well. You know, it's like people are, you know, always talking about, you know, working so hard on your health and everything, but I always feel good. I mean, I feel like I have energy, and that's why it's funny with the adrenals is like, I do seem to have like low cortisol and all that, but I, you know, I mean, I don't feel like I have low
energy. I did this when the last time I did my test, I hate to say, was probably 10 years ago, maybe more. And I did my test, and I'd been doing a bunch of tests, and I took mine and I went, it was worse than anybody's. My cortisol in the morning was like the pits. And I have the ability to like give myself a shot of cortisol and I go. But I learned to manage it and learn to watch it. And now really getting serious about sleeping makes a huge difference. So, I mean, you need to replenish. You need to recognize, like we started this whole call right at the beginning, is recognize when are you in parasympathetic, when are you in sympathetic, and be able to notice that and shift it, notice it and shift it. And I find myself throughout the day noticing it, like even at the beginning of the call, I was excited. I'd gone through all of these things. I had all this stuff planned and get to see you guys. And I went, I'm in sympathetic. I'm like, okay, let's do this so I can get myself back down. And I find myself throughout the day if I get, because genetically, you know, I'm a high anxiety person.
I'm right there too.
Yeah. So we just have to, we don't realize it. You probably felt great when you got the breast cancer diagnosis. It's like, what? I have what? Yeah. Right.
Right.
So you're able to just push past it and just knowing what your limits are, getting yourself in a regular exercise routine. And it still should be, whether you have adrenal fatigue or not, you still should be exercising at least 5 days a week. It's just how intense are you exercising? And with adrenal fatigue, when your adrenals aren't, if you're taking a really long time to recover from exercise, then you're overdoing it.
Okay.
There's days when I've gone out for a run, you know, and I'll go, oh, I didn't sleep last night. It's 102 degrees, but I'm going running because it's my time. And I go out there and I have literally come back with my blood pressure 80 over 50 or 80 over 60 and feeling like lightheaded. And one day I called my husband. And so I'm like, no, you're not superhuman, right? You didn't sleep well. It's 102 degrees. And we all have to just know our limitations and work within that. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, and it's a sign of self-preservation and self-care.
Knowing when
to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Knowing when to slow down and being aware of the signals the body's given you. Right? Just being aware of that and not being afraid to say, nope, I got to stop. I've got to stop right now.
Yeah.
Right? You can do it. Right. So go back to your good sleep habits. Go back to your exercise. It's not like you've never done it before. I'm telling you, go back to it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the summer. I just kind of, you know.
You traveled a lot. You had the kids around, the grandkids around a lot. And yeah.
Got out of my habit.
Yeah. And it stays light late.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's getting dark there, but
I have, because we were talking, I didn't want to get up, but I'm going to turn my light on.
Turn your light on. Yeah. Yeah, I see the sun going down, but you're further north, even though you're on the same latitude, whatever it is, latitude. Yeah, this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you guys on the Pacific, are you in mountain zone, Diana? You're mountain. Yeah. So you're a little bit lighter than we are. And then Claudia and Marsha on the West Coast. So I think that's all we have left, right?
Yes.
All right.
Claudia, I let Claudia know she's up. I believe she just stepped away there she comes.
There she comes. Okay. And then Marsha should be back right after that.
All right. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
I've been so excited about this new Freestyle Libra. And then Isabel said, no, no, it's going to calibrate like in 48 hours. It's because I'm like, oh, yay. My Relion is 106 and that thing says 4.8, which is like 86. So I guess the initial result.
It sometimes is not, you know, it's, I would just say it's unpredictable for the first 24 hours, even though it says it's calibrated. That one says it's calibrated within an hour, the 14.
Right.
Yeah, I found that it was kind of flaky for 24. So it's up and down.
Oh, well, I got so excited that my blood.
Just check, compare it to your other one and you'll know if it's right. That's how I do it.
But then she said there's a 15-minute delay so that you can, like, you should wait like 15 minutes to check the freestyle.
Only when it's going up or coming down. So if you're testing fasting, it's going to be the same.
Okay, but
if you eat a meal and you're testing to see, it could be a 15-minute lag before the freestyle catches up. So if you try testing it about half an hour later, you may notice that it's gone up on the blood, but the freestyle is still lagging. Still in all, I've found it to be pretty reliable. And when you're not doing the comparison, you're just comparing it to itself.
Right, right.
But you do the comparison at the beginning to just, you know, verify that it's pretty well in sync. But then you just get used to it. And I only would compare, you know, every now and then.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been testing my Rely On much at all because it upsets me so much. It's been like 134 and like, I'm like, what the heck? I'm not even eating food. I'm like, what is going on?
The Rely On for me tends to be 8 to 10 points higher. But what I liked about it is it's reliable.
Right.
If you take it 10 times in a row, it's going to be right in that same range. It might be 10 points away from what's real, but it's going to be reliable. Some of those machines are like all over the map.
Right.
You do it 10 times in a row and you get 10 completely different things. I threw several of them in the trash. I got so frustrated with them.
Well, my sister was here for 3 weeks and she was the one who was like really obese. And she's like, you know, she eats like a bowl with fruit and she eats like a crisp bread and like yams, whatever. And then she's like at 86 after eating and I'm at 136. And so at some point I'm like, don't tell me what you have. I don't even like, don't tell me. Like it pissed me off. I got so agitated that my blood sugar probably
went up just from being agitated.
Right. And that's why I didn't even measure much recently anymore, because it's like, it's almost like it's like, you know, driving me nuts seeing that high number.
Now, are you still having the munchies at night? And
oh, well, that kind of comes and goes. I'm going to do a liver cleanse next week and I'm going to do another green cleanse as a prep week.
Good.
I'm not sure if I need to do the deep cleanse or if I can do the light one with some fats as a prep for the liver cleanse. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're going to go no fat, low fat during the liver cleanse. So
right, yeah, no, I'm actually going to fast for 4 days during the actual flush and then afterwards. But
I think you could probably get away with doing the light or medium.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that would be great. Yeah. So I can have a little bit of fat. Okay.
Because it's also going to keep the liver, you know, kind of churning along.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. I wasn't sure. So I have a question about vitamin C. Like, so I heard you say at some point that it does make the readings higher.
On the Libre, yes.
Oh, on the Libre.
Only on the Libre because of the way that it measures. There may be some other meters that it does that with, but I know for sure on the Libre. And it's higher doses. It's like if you're taking a gram 3 times a day, it doesn't do it. But if you take a bunch... I feel like something's coming on. I feel like I'm getting a cold. And I would just like pour a bunch of vitamin C powder in a cup and drink it.
Okay. Well, I take like 1 teaspoon, which is like 4,000, I think twice a day, but I'm not very consistent. Sometimes
I would say that if it's 4,000 at the same time, it's probably going to shoot the number up on your Libre. You'd want to spit it out. You'll have to play with it though. I don't have any.
Okay. No, I was just wondering about that. If I should do it all in one go and then know that there was the time I took it versus spreading it out and then, okay, all right.
Yeah, I would test it without it for a few days, get a sense of it, then try, and I would say take a gram and see what it does. It seems like it's normal. Okay, take 2 grams. For me, I don't know where it was, but it was somewhere in the 3 to 4 gram because it would be like a whole teaspoon I just
put okay. in.
I think Lynn Rose might have a better idea because I think she actually – tested and calculated because I think she said it was like, you know, 2.4 whatever. I remember her having a very precise number that she knew.
Okay.
So you might want to ask her what her experience
I will ask
it
her.
Might be different from person to person.
Okay, good. Because I'm supposed to take it because of my UTI, so I'm supposed to take more. Okay, cool. So I updated my health, supplement tracker, and then I was talking about the different, lab tests that I have ordered and haven't taken yet.
Oh, and that you haven't taken. Do you have a list of them somewhere?
Yeah, I can, hold on. Let me see if I can, put that in the chat. Hold on. Not private. So everyone, okay, here we go. One second, I need to edit something out. Oops. Okay.
Okay, so vitamin D, C-peptide, homocysteine. Okay, you're going to do the liver cleanse when, next week?
Yes, I'm going to start on Monday with a prep.
I would wait a month after you finish the liver cleanse.
Okay, and then, but... So the comprehensive wellness panel includes the metabolic panel, but I have both of those separate. Like I have the metabolic, like I think there was a sale at Direct Labs.
Yeah. So save one for follow up.
Yeah.
And do the,
so wait a month from, well, I'm going to be in Germany in a month. So I guess, wait till October. You wanted me to check the first three in July, but then I just forgot. I was just,
you
so
can do the D because you had upped your D, right? Or you,
I'd upped my D, and then now I'm doing 5,000 a day, but I haven't taken it the last 2 weeks. I totally, like, anyway.
So here's what I want from, I want to see what your vitamin D is when you're consistently taking that dose.
Okay.
So if you haven't been consistently taking it, no worries. Then don't do it. For the, after the liver cleanse, I wouldn't do a comprehensive metabolic panel or homocysteine. I wouldn't do that for like a month because some of the liver numbers are going to be different. The cholesterol numbers till your body settles back down.
Okay. So 1 month after liver.
Yeah. The D you can do anytime as long as you've been consistent. But if you haven't been consistent, then it's not worth it. It's a waste of time.
Okay. How many weeks do I have to be consistent? I just forgot because I put the bottle somewhere else. That's all. I mean, it's not like I have
I
to
would take say it. 4 to 6 weeks of consistency.
Okay. I see. Okay. Yeah, I've been consistent until the last 2 weeks or so. Okay.
And then the C-peptide, actually you can do any time because that's going to give us an indication of the insulin levels and what's going on with your insulin resistance.
C-peptides, because I also got a urine culture organized from a different lab.
Oh, you did get it. Okay, good.
Yeah, but it doesn't have sensitivities. It's like personallabs.com. They're way more expensive than the Direct Labs, but I checked, I compared all the, homocysteine was cheap because they had a 20% sale. So I got that. So I want to go to Quest, to the lab anyway, but I can do the C-peptides. That I can do now, you said, okay.
That you could do now if you're going to go in to get, so you're going to get the urine test from this other lab, Personal Labs, or that's?
Yeah, it's called Personal. I Googled, like, that's the only one I found where you can actually order one without a prescription, or without like a doctor ordering it.
And it has the sensitivity, but not, or no?
No, it doesn't have the sensitivity, it just shows you what they find, the culture.
Did the Direct Labs have the sensitivity?
No. They only had a microscopic one that says they get, but they don't have a culture.
They don't actually culture. Yes, you're better off with the culture.
So I figured at least I know, like, I know what's in there.
I used to do that in my office. I had the culture pads and I had the centrifuge and I used to test all that. And then I'd test it against various things, but none of my reagents work, and centrifuge probably buried in my attic somewhere when I moved from California.
Yeah, so I figured that at least it gives me some information what actual bacteria is there.
Yeah, I want to know what's there.
Yeah, because my urine strips clearly indicate there's an UTI and my symptoms do, so it's absolutely...
Yeah, I'd like to know what's there, because even if there's no sensitivity,
right.
If they do a sensitivity, they most likely are not going to really do a comprehensive set of herbs and protocols, so we can use the UTI, the antibiotic book.
That's what I figured. I mean, that should be helpful. I mean, that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I go to Germany in September, and maybe I do another one there if it doesn't go away, because it's just much more affordable, everything. And plus the doctor is, like, included. It's, anyway, so yeah. I do that, and all right. And then wait.
In Germany?
I'm leaving on the 17th. I'm coming back on October 5th.
Okay. Is that when you're going to do that talk? You're going to be doing a talk?
Yeah, I'm going, I'm leading a workshop. It's about taking your product online. It's a conference for vision teachers, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm teaching a marketing course.
How funny.
I figured we know with a colleague together, but we both know more about that than most of the other people. So yeah, it'll be fun, but we haven't created the workshop yet. So
yeah, you'll do it.
I will wait with the other stuff, and then how much between the should I do the comprehensive metabolic first with EGFR or the comprehensive wellness, which includes that other test? Like, which one do you think should I do first?
When was the last time you did the comprehensive?
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know. That wasn't my
lab. I've got it open.
One in April.
I'm going to look at to see what was out of balance, because we talked
that
about
was your lab works. The one that came with ERC, I did in April, but that didn't have as much. That didn't have everything included. And then I did one in October last year when I first joined ERC. I think that was the comprehensive ones. That was the ones you told me to get. That was like a whole bunch.
I would say, let me see, the metabolic. Especially this.
I don't even know where my labs are. I should open them. How do you have them?
So 410 looks like the most recent.
Yeah, April, yeah.
Before April is 4 months, 6 months would be October.
Yeah, that was October.
And that's when you'll be back anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and the comprehensive wellness includes a CBC. Does the comprehensive metabolic include CBC?
The comprehensive metabolic, I have to look it up on Direct Labs. I have to look it up. I can do that while you talk. I'm not sure.
I'm just trying to decide if you need it right, if you need to do the whole thing. Yeah, find out what's in the comprehensive metabolic and we can decide.
Yeah, actually, I have the physician form somewhere. Let me look those up. It should say on there, right? Okay, I will. Yeah, one is more comprehensive than the other. The metabolic has less, so.
The metabolic has less. Yeah, I just want to see which of the things it includes and doesn't, if it includes a CBC, because I definitely want to see a CBC again.
CBC, okay, no, they all have weird names, okay. Okay, wait. Yeah, let's talk about something. I'll have to find it. They don't have the right names in my folder, so I have to find them somewhere else.
Okay. Was there something else you had you want to say?
That was kind of it, really. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, about supplements.
That oh, yeah. How is it? Oh, yeah, I had your supplements open a minute ago. Let me see.
Yeah, I sent them here to. Okay, I have.
Supplements
current. Yeah, I found the lab test, so let's see. You wanted to know if the metabolic one.
Yeah, what's in the metabolic versus.
CBC is included.
It is.
Iron, LD, lipid panel, phosphate, thyroid panel with TSH.
That's in the comprehensive metabolic?
Yeah. Hmm. No, hold on. That's in the that's probably the other one. Hold on.
That's the CWP for sure.
You're right. Sorry. I just opened. I thought that was the
question. Because I didn't think thyroid was in the comprehensive metabolic.
No, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Now I have the other one. CBC, and then it just says comprehensive metabolic panel. It just lists those two things.
Do that one in October.
Okay.
And then you can do the other one so that it's a full year from the other. And then you've also got the homocysteine. So do that, the CMP with the homocysteine and vitamin D if you don't get it done before that. Yeah. And then the iodine, the 24-hour, that's the Hakala. You can do that when you get back from Germany.
So, okay, just so I get it. October, I do the iodine. When I come back, iodine, the vitamins D, the homocysteine, and then the comprehensive
metabolic.
Okay.
Right.
Good. And then I wait with the other one, the full thing. I don't know. I think they expire, but you can always ask to get them extended.
You can get them extended.
Okay.
I have some from 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
I haven't done them yet, but I'm going to beg and plead.
Yeah, when you buy stuff on sale and then you forget.
Yeah.
Okay. And the C-peptide I can do right now. Okay, yeah.
That's that you can do now. That and, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, and then I updated my health tracker. There's so much in there. It's probably confusing.
All right, so I'm going to open up. Can I show you my screen?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I stopped the robbery yesterday.
Okay. So, and are you consistent with these, or is this stuff
the only one I'm not consistent with is the magnesium and the vitamin B complex. It's a coenzyme vitamin B powder because the pure encapsulations, the liposomal, was so expensive. Because they taste so disgusting. The magnesium from Sun Warrior, it's just, I have a hard time getting it down, so I haven't been.
Really?
I don't know. The vitamin B doesn't taste good either, so I have to find something else. It's just,
You could get some powdered magnesium. Get some powdered magnesium glycinate.
That's what I started with in Sweet Spot, the capsules from Pure Encapsulations.
Or powder. Because capsules, I'm always concerned about capsules and breaking down, and it's more expensive to do capsules. But magnesium glycinate doesn't have any flavor.
Okay, magnesium glycinate. Yeah, I have like 3 more bottles from the Sun Warrior. But
you do.
And then I got one topical one from Raw Revelations that I put on my skin. So I've been doing that every day.
But with this magnesium, what I find is I just take, because I've taken that one, I've taken a bunch of different ones. I just put it in the cup and I just scarf it down real quick.
I know. I've been pretty good for a while and then just the last.
What about putting some of the powdered vitamin C in it?
Yeah.
That's got a little bit of a citrusy flavor. Or just stick some stevia in it or stick some lemon juice in it.
Yeah, I will get on the track again. It's right there.
Yeah, okay.
But 400 milligram, that's like once a day. That's like 4 dropperfuls of that stuff. It's like 400.
Yeah.
I think that should be enough, right? I did the magnesium challenge and that upset my stomach after I took more than that.
Oh, yeah, then don't. That's the, yeah. Absolutely. So your D3, we know you're going to figure out after you check it.
Yeah, I got one from Germany that has 5,000 in one drop, which I love.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
Olive oil or something? Or
I don't know what they diluted it in, but yeah.
Yeah, it sounds pretty potent. The vitamin C, the P5P. So the question is, you want to know, wow, there's a lot.
I'm just like, it's so many, and we talked about UTI yesterday, so I have to get those new herbs, the dung quai and the, I forgot what they're all called. But I was just like the general like maintenance, like for instance, the chromium polynicotinate, I stopped the berberine. But do I need to take all these things, or can I just...
Well, I think with the chromium, until you get your blood sugar stable, then you can start to wean away from it.
Okay.
The B vitamins is your complex, so that's good. The magnesium, probably. I mean, you did the magnesium load, and that's what you came up with. So I think that's like your personalized amount. I think the Opti-3 with the EPA DHA,
Yeah, I got the Raw Revelation Superior Omega, and then because Opti-3, like the stuff leaked, like they refunded me the money, but it's like, it tastes like algae. Like, you know, I think the capsule, you know, they kind of, like, I don't know what happened. I'm still taking it, but it's very gross tasting, but I'm still tasting them, taking them. So I'm alternating it with that other one that has,
Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you figure it out, you can do one of these instead of two.
Yeah, I'm just alternating them right now. That's why I said at the end of it.
Figure out from your test the C you're taking right now for your bladder.
Yeah, I'm taking 4,000 a day right now, 1 teaspoon.
Yeah, spread it out though, because if you take it all at one time, you're going to just poop it away.
Okay, spread it out. Okay.
P5P, that's for the hormone stuff.
Yeah.
Estriol and progesterone. 5 months. Looking forward to bring levels up on Dutch. Okay. I think until you do another Dutch. When was your Dutch done?
Oh, my Dutch, that's been a while. And the fatty acids test as well.
Fatty acids wasn't that long ago, I don't think, was it?
No, it was pretty long ago. Like I did all those, I think, end of last year. And it came out that my omega-3s were low. And then I took the lipo optimized for fat digestion because apparently I'm not digesting. But I stopped taking those after one of the calls we had. I stopped taking all the critical digestion, all the the HCL. Yeah. I stopped taking all those.
Well, I would say for I would take these until you do another Dutch and then let's see what happens.
Yeah, okay.
And then the same thing with the fatty acids.
Just take the omega-3s for now.
Take the omega-3s and then get the blood swab fatty acid again. The yellow duck, you'll know from your, if you've been taking it consistently, when you get the metabolic panel, we'll look at the iron and see if you
right. Yeah, I've been taking that, well, not the last few weeks, but yeah, I've been pretty good. Okay. And then I got that superoxide, how do you pronounce that?
Superoxide dismutase. That was based on your genetics, right?
Yeah, and that stuff is so expensive, but I'm putting one squirt on my arms every day.
Liquid light, these are just, you know, this is like your insurance mineral, vitamin mineral stuff.
Yeah, those taste pretty good.
Yeah. The vitamin code raw iron, you know, again, you're taking that with, you may be able to just take one or the other of these.
Actually, I ran out of that like probably a week ago. So I don't know. I haven't ordered a new one yet. So should I wait with the vitamin code or iron?
A couple of things you could do. If you're going to go in and get tested for the homocysteine, you can get your iron tested at the same time and see if you still need it. If it's come up, then you can back off on one of them. It's not expensive to just do.
Well, when I do the homocysteine, you said in October, so I'm going to do the metabolic.
You were going to go do the C-peptide you were going to do.
Yeah.
When you do the C-peptide, you can do your...
But then I have to buy another test, right? That's not included. Yeah,
you just do it. Just buy it. It's $25. It's
not okay.
Expensive. I'm looking for iron. Here it is, iron. Yeah, and what was your... Did you ever do the ferritin?
I did, and I think that's the your lab box didn't have one of those included, and you were saying you wanted to tell Alan that he needs to change something.
Yeah, I already told him.
I can't remember, like something wasn't included in that one.
Yeah, right? He did the ferritin, but not the iron. And
that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, but you had iron done, and then ferritin. Transferrin, where's the ferritin? Here we go, female. You and ferritin don't know.
Yeah, was low, but iron.
Both were low. So, you know, as long as I get the sense of where you're metabolically. So if I look at that, I don't necessarily have to test both of them. Your iron's low and your ferritin's low. So you're the pattern we expect. That's where, okay, we could just do one or the other and we'll get a good indication. You take somebody whose ferritin is high and their iron is low or vice versa. You can't just do one. You've got to do both in order to see what the metabolic pattern is. So for you, iron is cheaper. So just get the
iron. Iron is cheaper than the yellow duck.
I believe iron is cheaper than...
Oh, the test you mean. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I got it.
So just go order... Which lab did you order C-peptide through?
Direct Labs.
So go there and just order an iron.
Yeah.
You can just go in with the
same. It doesn't matter. It's the same.
Oh, it doesn't matter because they both use
the same physical location that I go to get my blood drawn. So,
yeah, so just find whichever one's cheaper, order it, and get the iron and do it at the same time when you do that. That way you'll know you don't have to take all this extra stuff if your numbers are good.
Okay.
You know, and you can take one or the other. You just take the yellow duck or just take the iron because that raw iron does raise it really quickly.
Yeah, and I've been taking that until about 10 days ago. I've been taking one every day.
Yeah, I'd want to.
That's something I can test right now.
I would test it right now.
Yeah, okay, good.
Do it with the C-peptide so that way you're not taking more iron. Because iron, you don't want to take extra iron, especially if you're postmenopausal. So you only want to take iron if you need it.
Right.
Proflora Women's in. Oh, so this is for the. This is all for the yeast infection.
Yeah, that was for the yeah. And then the other one, the urinary tract one, was I take orally.
You're taking two dropper fills 4 to 5 times a day, urinary tract plus probiotic, one capsule orally, and then this one you're doing vaginally. Yeah, so basically, in terms of wanting to cut back, what I would say as a summary would be after you do your blood spot fatty acid, you can determine if you need to continue to take that. Same thing with the D, you'll know, but you haven't taken D consistently to know. Because you're at 73, and I wanted to know, is the 5,000 going to keep you at 73?
Right, right.
Or is it going to shoot you too high, or is it going to drop you down? Because you were at 10,000 before, right?
No, I took 20,000 before.
20,000 to get up there, right.
Yeah.
And how, okay, so when was it that that you dropped it down to the 5,000?
Oh, didn't I write that in the thing?
321? Or did you change it? Because, because you recently, let me look here.
I think, I just updated the health tracker, so I deleted the notes. Shoot. I just deleted the notes.
All right, let me look back.
Damn it. Maybe if I do Command Z, it goes back. Let's see.
Well, I'll know by when you got it tested, because that's when, right?
I think it was in April. Like after that test, like in May, whenever we had that lab, we had a lab.
Yeah, we had that. And then
a lab retreat or something.
Okay. And were you consistent with it? Fairly consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for the last.
I would do the D then now. Do the D now.
Okay.
Because otherwise I don't want you to take too little. Because
if it goes down,
then you know you have to bump it up. And if it's gone up too high, continue to go up high, then you know you can drop it back. I do that now then.
Yeah, that should be independent from the liver cleanse and the green cleanse, right? The vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do the C-peptide, iron, and D right now, and then the rest of it you do after your liver cleanse.
Okay, great.
Whoops. Where am I at?
And then when I get the labs, I can update all this information and the health tracker and then the lab thingy. I mean, I can update all this.
Yeah.
I still don't have access to the NAPT. You know that optimized health, you said we have to submit things with a different form, like a optimized, what is that thing called that you're using to actually, it's a different software.
The software, you don't have access to doing that?
No, I still don't have access to that. I mean, I didn't have a client case to submit, so, but I just realized like if I ever have to submit.
Well, you can submit your own. But
I would. You're packing the blood chemistry software?
Oh, there she is, blood chemistry software, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
We talked about this once before. And
yeah, and I sent them an updated list, and they said, okay, no problem.
And did you verify that they had them? Did they hear back? So I would.
I haven't. Yeah. But I will.
Yeah, that would be great. So I can.
Have you tried getting in recently? Do they usually use?
No, I haven't. I mean, I don't even know what the website. I don't know how to do any of this. So,
Lynn, do they usually? Do you give them the password, or they assign the password?
So I give them the same password information we have for the INE member site.
Doesn't each person have an individual password?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So like what Claudia uses to get into the INE members site would be the same one she would use for.
Okay, so could you send her an email with the URL that she logs into and what her user ID and password is so she could check it?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and the information is in the resources area as well INE members site, but I will work with Claudia.
Yeah, but I think when we get new people in, it would be helpful. Right. Angelica, have you tried to get in and do that? Because you joined after Claudia.
Right.
Try it.
So when I did it, it was like, when I last talked to them, it was like in April.
Okay. So. Yeah. So I think what we need to do then, if they said, yes, it's done, then we need to write to each of those people that it applies to, right? All the people that you had on that list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you write a note to each of those people and say, hey, here's how we just got this activated. Because otherwise people wouldn't know. It's just one other thing.
Well, they're supposed to be getting a welcome email.
Oh, they should get a welcome email. Mm-hmm. So Angelica should
call. What is it called? Right. Optimized. What is the thing called? Actually, what would I look for in my email inbox if I see if
Optimal DX.
Optimal DX. It used to be blood chemistry software, but now it's Optimal DX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see anything.
Okay. Well, look, give her the
URL. I only see the one that you did for me, right? That you sent me one then, and like last October, that's actually my,
right.
You know, my PDF. Yeah. Like, I have that, but that's the only thing that comes up, yeah.
And you don't see it either, Angela. Look, based on your face, you're going, I don't see it either. All right, so why don't you just try this, Lynn? Just try logging in as one of them.
Okay.
And then with the user ID and password you gave the company. And if it works, then just write to all of them and say, here's your access.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else before we move on to Marcia?
No. Except for the bread from the NAPT retreat, that nut bread. I don't know if you can ever get a recipe out of Joe. That was so delicious.
Dehydrated seed bread?
Huh?
Dehydrated sea bread, seed bread, right?
Yeah, that's so good. And I'm like, I want to make something in my dehydrator that I can eat. And that bread was so good.
It's real easy to make bread. And it's real easy to make it taste good. And I know she has a special skill, but in the... All the documents that you have, like Dried and Gone to Heaven ebook or.
Okay, so I just look in there.
Vital Health Community, just a few days ago, I did a call.
Oh, I saw the sandwiches one. Yeah, I know. I've made the onion crackers. They're really good, but they upset my stomach so much. The onion bread is so good. I've tried it like 5 times and every time I get stomach aches. Oh. I'm not sure what it is in there, but it's very delicious. I guess I need to explore other options. Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorites for you guys is in the Dried and Gone to Heaven. There's a pizza crust that's made with Brazil nuts and chia seeds. And it's the crust, but you can make it as a bread. You just make it thicker. Oh my God. It was so good.
Okay. Pizza crust with Brazil nuts.
Brazil nuts and chia seeds. It has other things in it, but that's the chia.
Okay. I will look for that.
It was really good. And then we did a Vital Healing Kitchen. Or was it? No, it was last year on ERC. We did, not this year that we just went through, but the year before, we did in the kitchen kind of all day thing. And I bet it's in there, but there was a recipe that, was it Lore had for some cracker?
It was based on
I'll try to make it. And it was so good.
So that is an ERC 2017. Is that like in resort or like, is that in
a... I'd be able to see it under the recordings of that. I'm not sure, if you guys get backwards stuff for that, but we could probably find that. But the other one was the matzah that I made in...
Passover.
Must have been March. It was a Passover Easter class.
Yeah.
This year?
Healing Kitchen this year. And the one that I made that was the matzah. That was I think it was my favorite bread recipe of anything I ever made.
Okay, I will because I want one that is good, that I know is good. Okay, awesome.
I loved that one. I was trying to save some for Scott to try and it didn't. I ate
them. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, and I wanted to share the one you do with the zucchini and the cauliflower.
The one I did the other day?
Yeah. I do a really close approximation to that one. And I like, that's my favorite because it has kind of that spongy mouth feel to it. And it tastes good.
And you get the recipes, right, from the Vital? Because I wasn't able to kind of like connect.
Yeah, the recipes usually take a couple of weeks before they
do. Yeah, I figure.
Because I don't write them down. I make them
once. Do you remake them and then measure everything? Or how do you do it?
No, Pamela, who's also a chef, a raw foods chef, she watches it and she writes down the ingredients.
Because I'm like you, I just throw stuff in there. I could never write down exactly how many.
No, but she's good at knowing. Like somebody who doesn't know anything about recipes would go, what did she put? Like 4 teaspoons of clove? No. Even if I said that, like Pamela would know I didn't mean it.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And usually people catch me on that, but it was a good, the cauliflower, I did a head of cauliflower. I did what a cup.
I saw you struggling with the food processor and I ordered a food processor.
I think I need a new blade because it's never happened before. I think I need a new blade.
I got one at Costco, really good price.
I saw it, the one that has a spiralizer.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it was like 159 or 149.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I haven't gotten it yet. I ordered online, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that's really cool that it has the spiralizer. So
yeah, I figure I have one like a hand crank one, but after one zucchini, it's like your arms are like, oh.
It's for exercise.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I prefer other exercise, to be honest.
So I want to share a success. My son, my 21-year-old son, just came up and he said, "I made kale chips, and they were pretty good."
Wow.
Yeah, he said, you know, the recipe said just kind of drizzle it over. And he goes, I washed my hands and I got my hands in there and massaged it. So
nice.
I'm pretty happy about
it. Congratulations. That's always a big step when your kids start to, you know, do that kind of stuff. That's great. One day,
I put the link for the retreat, the kitchen pantry retreat, in the chat.
You're the best. Thank you.
Well, let's hope if you can't open it, let us know.
Oh, yeah. It might be protected to just that level or something. Can always copy the, you know what you could do, Lynn, if not, just go in there and just take the link to the PDF, because then they don't have to get at the page. Just take the copy of the PDF booklet and put it in there.
I get a page. It works. It's a video. Oh. And then, yeah, no, it works.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it's you in your kitchen. Without the flyer behind you, it looks more like a little higher angle.
It was because it was just me in the kitchen. I think Jay was there and a couple of other people were there. But I have my laptop and I was just making it. And other people were in their kitchen making food at the same time.
Cool.
Tell me what they wanted. And it was fun.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. Okay, everybody. Well, Marsha.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. So, how was your appointment? You back?
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Good. All right. So, we're going to go to Marsha's. Let's see if I can find. I have so many links open here. It's crazy. Okay, so we did Claudia. And now we're going to do Marsha. I'm just highlighting. Okay, so I'm going to your lab folder, your health tracker. Okay.
I don't think Susan entered the latest things into the tracker. I just got one test result back yesterday.
Oh, okay. So where would I find the test results?
So the test results should
be in your home.
I think in labs, Marsha Labs.
Okay.
Oh, no, Labs June 2019.
All right, now I got to find it. I'm going to just close some of these. I don't need them anymore. If I need something, I'll open it. I have like at least 30 windows open. And it's making it really hard to keep finding everybody's stuff. What is that? All right, I'm getting there. I think I might have accidentally closed the master sheet. Okay. No, here we go. All right, so I'm going to click on your health tracker. Is this her folder? This is her folder, right? Okay, Marsha Labs. Okay.
So it's in Labs June 2019.
Labs. I see 2019 labs, 2018 labs, old labs, specialty labs, blood chemistry reports, NutriVal summary, wellness program, Dutch, GIFX.
Yeah. I think you're in the right place, right?
Okay, got it. Okay, so this is where, so which ones are we looking at?
So the newest one is the Dutch, and the one that starts with order 89973, that's got like everything you and I talked about. I don't expect you to remember, but all the thyroid tests, the zinc and copper and the Cerulea Plaza.
Okay. I don't see that one. Order 2000.
It says order.
Let me show my screen and you can help me find it.
Marcia, are you referring to June 2019 labs? Because that's a different.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different folder. Okay, let me.
Oh.
I'll send that to Dr. Rita Marie.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Is it here, though? It should be in the same place, Marcia. Oh, labs June 2019. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's the Dutch July 2019 wellness program summary.
Wait, yours isn't updated. It's different than mine. Mine has a lot more in it.
The labs 2019? Really?
Yeah, I'm in my June, and I have, like...
Did you upload it yourself, Marcia?
I did, yeah.
Okay, then maybe you should refresh your browser or something, and then it would, like, save it. Because, it always saves, it should, but sometimes like, when you upload it yourself, you should then refresh.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the order, the top two.
Okay. Let's look at the Dutch first. What is it doing?
Maybe it's loading.
There we go. It was like clear. It was crazy. All right. So we have Dutch. I want to open up your previous one because I always like to compare them.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to open this in a new window. All right, and then I'm going to go backwards on this, and I think it was probably in labs, right? Would be the old one. Dutch 7-2000. Wait a minute. That's the most recent one, right? No. Wellness programmers.
It's possible things were uploaded twice because it looks like.
All right, let me see if this is the same one. This is 7-22, and then this one is, 7-21, and this one is 7-22. Collection, what? Oh, same. No. Oh, it's the same one. Okay, let me go back. So where's your previous Dutch? 2019, maybe. No, that's blood tests. We need to have a consistency on how everybody organizes because I can't.
I agree.
Yeah, somebody, somebody changed from Sweet Spot to this, and then, I mean, I haven't added the folders. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm looking, though. Also.
Curious is, Dutch from last year. Okay. We'll compare. I always like to compare to see what's changed. Okay, so here's your new one. And here's your previous one. Looks like your testosterone was super high last time. And now it's normal. Your
we wonder if that's because Andy stopped testosterone.
Ah, okay. Yep. That's a common cause of high testosterone in women is transference from partner. Okay. So this is your last year's in terms of your adrenal, like your morning cortisol. Look at that. How that high that is. See the difference?
Yes. Mornings are really hard for me.
Really hard. Right. Midday looks similar.
Yep.
And nighttime surprisingly is super low and you're not having trouble falling asleep as much as staying asleep, right?
I'm not having trouble falling asleep and I only wake up if I, you know, get the gastric issues, which is happening more and more the last few days again.
Okay. All right. Oh, let's see what's next. All right, so we'll go to the next page. All right. I'll scroll down on this page. And that's probably why your cortisol is so high, is if you're waking up in gastric distress, Okay, so yeah, this looks different. Pregnenolone, progesterone. So progesterone is lower than I'd like it to be. Let's see how it compares. But it's pretty much like it was before. It's gone down just a little bit. Are you taking any progesterone cream?
No, I'm not taking any.
Your DHEA, yeah, so your testosterone's normal again. Okay. So ratio-wise, you're at a really good estrogen quotient.
Yay.
Which is, you know, an awesome thing to see for somebody with your history, you know, that's super, super great ratio. Super great ratio.
What is the ratio?
I'm looking at E1 plus E2 should be less than or equal to E3.
Oh, great.
Most people okay. I see with E1 plus E2, double, triple, quadruple E3. So yours is really good. When I look at your pie here, you're a little bit high on the, you're actually 22%. Let me see. You're at 11.5. So you're slightly high on the 4-hydroxy. Very slightly high out of the range. Your 16-hydroxy is within the range and this actually looks pretty good, especially given genetics, like the 1B1 here. So that's looking good. You're methylating. At least you're methylating your sex hormones.
I didn't think I had any sex hormones.
What little you have, you're methylating them. So you're not in any dangerous situation with your sex hormones here. It's all protective. You're right in the range with this alpha versus beta. The only thing is they're low. You know, it is low. But you have a history of breast cancer, and we're just going to live with low estrogen here. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Right? Because the risk of not living with low estrogen is higher than the risk of living with low estrogen. We do want to make sure you're protecting your bones, though, right? Because your estrogen isn't there to really do it. This is what we expect to see in a menopausal woman. Your estrone is lower, which is fine because it's the proliferative one. It's the more dangerous one. Your E2 is low and your estriol. If you're having any things like vaginal dryness, low sex drive, you could do a topical estriol cream.
I do have suppositories that I use
that.
Every once in a while.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably why it's decent, but that you can use on a regular basis. But I wouldn't play with it otherwise. I wouldn't play with it otherwise just because, you know, it's, yeah. Let's see what it was before, because other than that high testosterone and, oh yeah, look, your ratio. No, it was good. It was good before, but your levels were higher last time.
Yeah.
And your methylation was low last time. So you're doing something right in terms of your methylation. And it's a safe picture. I just want to make sure you're protecting your bones. You do have a good ratio of 16 compared to the others. And 16 tends to be protective, but just because the sheer amount is low, you could... with the ratios there. If this were me, I wouldn't mess with this. If this were me with your history,
right?
I wouldn't mess with this.
Okay.
Right. But what I would do is make sure you're doing the things to protect your bones, like nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, those kinds of things on a regular basis, drinking greens, which I know you're all crazy about, but more green leafy stuff. That has that support for your bones, exercise for your bones, like the stuff that Maria's going to teach in her thing, or that Karen teaches in her yoga for bone health. Those sorts of things to just really make sure that you're protecting your bones, right? And we have a whole you know, video module in, where is it at? It's in the nutrition part of the seven, the pillars, the body freedom pillars. There's a whole thing called Eating for Bone Health. And we have a recipe guide and we have a video. We have an informational video and a recipe video. So where I talk about it. Have you done an NTX test?
No, is that like a bone density test?
It's not a bone density. It's a bone metabolism, right? Because when we look at bone density, it's a static thing. Here's your bone density. But you don't know which direction you're moving in. And bone density changes on the test slowly. So what you want to do is a metabolic test to see, are you adding bone or faster than you're deleting, or are you deleting faster than you're adding?
Is that a blood test?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or is it a blood test or a urine test? I think you can do either way. I think you can do
it. The one I did was urine.
Urine. It's a second morning urine. That's right.
Right.
Right. And you can do it NTX at Direct Labs. I don't know if Allen Hopkins lab does it. And you can also do, or you can do a Genova Diagnostics OsteoNex. I think that the NTX is actually less expensive. Do you remember what it cost you to do that, Paula?
About $75.
Okay. Yeah. And Paula's shifted dramatically over the last couple of years in terms of her metabolism just by doing all this protective stuff.
Just in 1 year.
It was 1 year. Yeah.
Wow, that's great, Paula.
Yeah. So that's what I would recommend, just because, you know, that's the only downside I see of the low hormones. And the upside is that you've had a history of breast cancer and we don't want to go back there.
Right. And what about the progesterone and testosterone?
Yeah, the progesterone, I think the testosterone, you leave it alone. Because testosterone can always convert to estrogen and I don't want to take that chance. But progesterone, I would say you could totally get like a progesterone cream or this Biomatrix ProAdapt, and you can apply that topically. It's a progesterone, or you can take this internally, even though they're not allowed to say that you can. But some people take it internally and don't have a problem, but it's up to you. But you can take it topically and you can apply it to the vulva area. You can apply it to the wrists or any other topical place.
What's the name of it again?
This one is Biomatrix ProAdapt.
ProAdapt, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Let's see what you're... Yeah, so it's getting your gut calmed down to see what's going on here. Oh, you may be low in glutathione. This is a metabolic marker for glutathione, and it's above the range.
So I've been doing Dr. Marisol's packs almost every night for a month, and it's supposed to increase glutathione and also help with gut health. And actually the last few days, my gut health is actually worse. And I feel very inflamed, and I'm not eating anything differently, or, you know, there's no...
Just out of the blue, it just started to get worse again.
Yeah.
Did you notice any improvement when you started the casserole packs?
Yeah. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep doing them. But
did you take a few days break and then start them again?
I did take a few days break and start. Yeah. I went away and didn't take it with me for a few days. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now you were away? Is that when the gut started to?
No. When I came back.
Did you maybe get exposed to something while you were away?
I don't know. We ate really well. We ate at that raw restaurant in Ashland that I put up some pictures of, like, food. So I didn't drink anything.
Maybe more fat, more nuts than you normally would if you were eating there?
Probably not.
No. Well, I would say see how it is, you know, like calm it down. If you can do some longer fasting, I don't know if you want to do morning or afternoon, but like longer periods, like a 16-hour intermittent fast to give it a break. Okay. My guess with you, because it does happen at night, is like just have your last meal at 4 o'clock.
I'm trying that, and it for some reason, this thing can go on for hours, like 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours of just burping. And
you mean after you eat your last meal? It's
after I eat my last meal, I can be fine. And then I wake up with this burping thing that even if I don't eat for another, you know, 10 hours or so, or 12 hours, I'm still burping and belching. And
is there any hiccuping going on with that?
Sometimes there's hiccuping. Sometimes there's just like a little release of gas just right in this area. And other times there's, you know, farty gas. And sometimes I feel like I'm a septic system. I mean, a sewer sludge sometimes.
Interesting. And it's getting better. And then all of a sudden.
Getting better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A good point. Happened. Good point about going away. But I really ate very healthy there.
Well, I was thinking also not so much in terms of just the food, but the fact that there's travel. You flew or drove?
We drove.
You drove. So being in a car for long periods of time, being, you know, not moving, not having the mobility, maybe your diaphragm even got some congestion in your diaphragm. Have you found the person to do that body work, the vagus nerve work?
Yeah. That's so amazing. I love that work.
Awesome. Have you had any since this started up again?
I've seen her since this started up again. Yeah.
Darn it. I was hoping that we get, get that vagus nerve. Cause it sounds like, you know, possibly the vagus nerve got suppressed again, you know, and
I think that's what it is.
And
I just came from people who worked on me also. That was my appointment right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what we worked on.
Okay. Well, let's see how it goes tonight.
Yeah.
And when are you doing the casseroles? Are you doing them right before bed? Or are you doing them?
I keep it on all night.
You do? Okay.
I put it on right before bed and I keep it on all night.
Yeah. But you didn't have the problem when you were away. It started after you got back.
It started waking me up earlier when I got back. I have had the problem consistently since it started in April, but it was getting better. And one morning I woke up and I said to Andy, I can't believe that I'm not burping. You know, it was just, it's like, I think I'm waking up. I think I'm having fight or flight in my sleep. Then I wake up, then I feel the, you know, these symptoms.
So you don't feel like you're having the symptoms while, like the burping and the farting and all that is happening while you sleep. It's when you, once you wake up.
Yeah. It wakes me up.
Oh, it does wake you up.
Yeah. But for the time I'm sleeping, I'm not feeling like I'm moving around farting or burping at all. And Andy doesn't hear or smell anything during that time.
Mm.
And the only other time in my life that I've had this is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I had this kind of nervous breakdown before.
I'm just thinking and trying to pull it all together and see if I can find a connection here.
So this is kind of a weird craving, and I don't give in to all my cravings, but I've been craving dairy yogurt. I have not had any.
Wow.
But I don't know. I've just been wanting like the other kinds of nut yogurts. I want something to just coat my tummy. And for some reason, that's where I'm going, maybe in my memory.
It's probably a memory thing because that's what they recommend. When I had the possible ulcer, that's what they told me to eat a lot of, was ice cream and milk and cream. And
because
it's known to coat your stomach, but it really is not a good idea. So it's probably an old.
Yeah, that's what I thought, which is why I haven't.
What about slippery elm and marshmallow or?
Yeah, I've got that here.
Yeah. Have you taken it recently?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's a real good coater, soother. Yeah.
I probably need more.
I would say if you're having an incident, right, where you're getting this regularly, I'd recommend doing it like 3 times a day.
Yeah, I think so too.
Add a teaspoon in the warm water, sit with it, let it soothe you, nourish it, talk to it, all those kinds of things about, because it really can soothe and help. And hiatal hernia comes to mind. Like, You know, that's why I said about the diaphragm and anything, guys, the diaphragm gets tight. And if the stomach starts to go up, that, you know, burping reminiscent of hiatal hernia.
Hmm.
And maybe, you know, in some of the body work that you're getting, somebody knows how to do that. Look up hiatal hernia.
I will look that up. Yeah. I'm typing my notes into the chat. I hope that's okay.
Sure.
For other people.
Yeah, I would do that and then see if it's something. I've had several patients who've been able to pull it down themselves. People who had overt, really bad reflux and been able to watch the videos and pull it down themselves.
Okay.
Right. And if not, you know, some of the body worker people that you're seeing, somebody's going to be able to figure it out and help you with that. And it does occur with the sympathetic response, right? If something sets you into that sympathetic response, boom. My son had that recently happen with, he fell down and broke ribs. And he says, Mom, why can't I eat any spicy food anymore? Every time I eat spicy food since I fell. And then we had him do a CT scan to see what was going on. And he has a hiatal hernia. And he never had a hiatal hernia before. This is a kid who would eat, you know, pour down salsa and not feel it. So I think it was caused by that. It's a trauma, right? So when the diaphragm gets like tight, and if it happens to catch the little lip of the top part of the stomach, then regurgitation, burping, that air feeling that you get.
Yeah.
It could be that.
I can look into that.
Yeah. Could definitely be that. And maybe that's been an issue all along. And it just gets better or worse depending on things. And I think, you know, sometimes being compressed and sitting in a car all day long, like if it's a long drive, you're going to be sitting for hours and hours on end versus at home. Maybe you sit at the computer and then you get up and you move around, and it's much different in terms of mobility. So that's the kind of stuff I would look at. The only other things here, even given, you know, that this is your dopamine marker, it's at the high end of the range, but it's not terribly out of range. And your melatonin is fine. And your antioxidant marker is fine. It's actually, you know, on the lower end of the norm of the range. So those numbers look good. You know, my only concern here is it's really not, because I think my main concern is this.
The cortisol.
And something you can do. Do you remember if you woke up in the middle of the night with this one? Was this?
I did.
Yeah. And you took the urine then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can't remember if you've tried Magnolia before.
I have tried Magnolia before. I think I woke up in the middle of the night. You can see it right here on the collection times.
What does it say? It's
small for me to be able to see.
Calling videos, collection time. Where's?
On the top right of this.
Oh, up here, I see it. Yeah. So yeah, it was. There's five of them. So yeah, you did. It was 4:30 a.m., 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 6:15, and 10. Or 10 was your first one. Well, they have them in the wrong order. 6:15 p.m., then 10 p.m., then 4:30 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. So you woke up once in the middle of the night. That would be the 4:30 one. Yeah. What was your experience with Magnolia? And how long?
I think I was taking it as part of Dr. Amen's brain formula. I'm happy to take it again on its own.
On its own, you can get a powdered on Amazon. I got some, and I can find what I got and tell you. But it's got so much, so many effects that I think would be helpful for you. And especially to be taking that, if you wake up in the middle of the night with this, just to take it then, because given that super high level of cortisol.
Yeah. I remember you did that post recently about a client in the Magnolia.
Mm-hmm. Let me look up Amazon. I'll just look up my order and I'll tell you exactly what I ordered. Okay, my orders. Where's my orders? orders. And I can go Magnolia. Okay. I have a million caps lock. Samsara herbs, Magnolia bark extract. I'll take the link to it and I'll put it in the.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Copy. Okay, where am I? How do I get back to chat?
Can you make a tea out of that?
You can, yeah.
I just wrote it.
You wrote it?
Okay. I wrote, yeah. Uh-huh.
I was going to put it in the chat. I have it in my. There. Yeah, and it's got a lot of good studies with not just with lowering cortisol, but anxiety and brain fog and all kinds of stuff. They test for mold, yeast, bacteria, so it's clean.
Oh,
I was impressed with this. I looked at a lot of them. From digestive to respiratory issues. So, you know, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Powerful antioxidants. And there was a good article I found on it that I posted to one of the groups.
I read that article.
Read that. Yeah. Had a really lot of good stuff beyond what I've always thought about it's being used for.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that would be a good thing for you to try.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. And then let's look at your, that's Paula. All right, let me get rid of Paula's stuff so I can keep opening it.
It's to the left, the two red ones that are together.
Okay, got it. Okay. Okay. Okay,
lab June 9th, yeah. And this one will say order. Yeah.
Okay. Your free T3 looks fine. Your T3 total looks fine. Your T4 looks fine. Your T4 free looks fine. So all your thyroid stuff looks fine. Your TSH is a little on the high side. Your fasting glucose looks fine. Albumin, glomulin, alk phos is very low. They don't ever clag it, but alk phos, you know, when it's put into the
right
tracker, it's much easier, but. Most of these I have memorized. You know, you might be a little low on your B6. Maybe not. These are liver enzymes and they're very low, which is good. It means you don't have any oxidative stress on your liver. But when they get very low, sometimes we just like hold it off as like, maybe there's a B6 because it's a B6 dependent enzyme. So we're looking at B6 and zinc at this point. My pen isn't working. I wonder why.
And both of those factor into cryptopyroluria.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, yes, absolutely. Ceruloplasm. Okay. Globulin. Protein. Protein's a little low. Let me just pull up. Where's your? Do I have yours open? That's J's. Okay. Here. I'm going to open this in a new window. And then I'm going to go back and open up your master tracker just to see how some of these compare. And then we're going to go to your labs. Okay. And it keeps doing that today because this weird thing. Let me look to see if those are always that low. ALT and AST were, you know, they've gone down. But here they were low too. So it may or may not be a B6 deficiency, but I want to keep that in mind. Your iron, right, so let's look back here. I wanted to look at your at the protein and see what the protein. Protein was 7.1, now it's 6 point something. So so protein's low. And it was 7, so it's gone down. And it could be the fact that you're just, you know, having all these GI things and you're not absorbing much of anything. Little bit low on these compared to optimal, the hematocrit and the hemoglobin. Let me look to see where you were. Hematocrit and hemoglobin. Here we go. You've been there before. That's about the same as you were. 38 and 12.5. And you're, where are we, 36 and 12.0. So slightly decreased in your hematocrit and hemoglobin. MCV is high, so I'm suspicious about, but your MMA was not. Okay, so here's where we compare things. If we look at your Dutch, MCV could be B12 or folate. But on your Dutch, your MMA, oh, how did I miss that the first time? Your MMA is high. So B12, you're low in B12. That's going to affect your stomach. That's going to affect absorption. That's going to affect your energy. That's going to affect your hemoglobin, et cetera. So we, are you taking B12 currently?
I'm taking adenosyl from England, the liquid adenosyl.
You need more than what you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you taking?
Oh, 4 drops of however much comes in the metabolics. I can go check or I can tell you another time.
I would double it.
Yeah. And double it at the same time because it's water soluble, or take twice a day?
B12 you can take together. I would, yeah, I mean, whatever's easier for you.
Okay, taking it at once. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Red blood cells are a little low, not surprised. Your white blood cell markers look good, you know, as far as infection or autoimmune, they look really good. Your copper, I don't know what the optimal range is on this. It's within their range. Your red cell magnesium is good. Your zinc, was this, I'm not sure if zinc is really reliable in terms of in serum.
How do you test it? Urine or?
Yeah, but and functionally. And your alkaline phosphatase is 40. Where's the, you didn't do pyrroles? Have you ever done?
I couldn't find a test that would send them to a company that would do them in California.
Oh, jeez, California. What is becoming of California?
Yeah.
To be like the most liberal state, now it's become this like horrible.
Has anybody done that? And I could maybe order and send it to you and I'll pay you to send it to me because I really want the pyrroles test.
You generally go to the lab and pee. You've had it done, Paula, right?
Yes.
How do you usually do that?
It's through a lab called Direct Health Access.
DHA lab.
And it's a urine test?
Yes.
Yeah, and they ship it to you in the UP and send it back? Is that how it works?
Actually, the Mensa doctors, they take care of it. They send it to the lab. It has to be handled in a particular way.
Oh, so yeah, Direct Health Access. I saw that actually. They're a Mensa lab.
Well, the other doctor, Dr. Bowman, is the medical director
mm-hmm.
of that lab.
That's the woman?
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's plasma for zinc.
Plasma?
Yes.
Yeah, and this doesn't say plasma, so I'm assuming it's serum. Usually it'll say, like the magnesium says, RBC. But here, this is a functional zinc, and 40 is super low.
Yep.
Super low.
What's the functional zinc? The alkaline
phosphatase. You know, it's always more accurate to look at functional versus the absolute amounts in the blood. But whereas MMA, like if you were to do a B12 right now, it'd probably show up fine, but your MMA is high and your MCV is high. And I haven't seen homocysteine if you did that, but my guess would be the homocysteine might even be high because those are functional.
I did homocysteine on my a test before, like maybe a month ago.
Okay. Was it below 8, below 7?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got two, and then the major one is MMA is the major one for... Yeah, it doesn't say this test was developed, not cleared or approved. So it's probably serum because I see this as magnesium RBC. If this was plasma, I'd probably say plasma. But I would bet on you having a zinc deficiency here.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You know, as far as B6, I would say you might have a B6 deficiency too. B6 is so super important for your neurotransmitters. So if you're not already taking them, I would take them consistently, the B6 and the zinc.
How much?
P5P for the B6. You start with 25 milligrams, but somewhere between 25 and 50 is the starting point. If you manage to get the cryptopyrrole test and yeah. It shows up that it's high, then I would bump up the both zinc and B6. But I would start with probably 25 on the B6 and 30 on the zinc. And those are big components in anxiety. So
I know. Well, I know that that could be the cause of mental illness in people, just that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I really wanted to get that test done.
Isn't there one of the doctors there that will order it for you? They should be able to.
Doctors.
You know, like the Ayurvedic doctor that you're seeing there.
But they wouldn't send it to California.
Through an MD?
I don't know. I'll ask.
That doesn't make sense. Like they won't do it direct to consumer.
Okay.
But they should okay. be able to send it to, yeah, the doctor should be able to order it.
Claudia is asking what kind of zinc and
I would do a liquid zinc. So don't do trace minerals. Everybody that does it says it makes them nauseous. It's so strong. But I would say either Premier Research Labs. And if you're really adverse to taking the liquid, then you can get a powder. But
I'd rather take liquid.
Yeah, I would do liquid. And B6, you can get a liquid B6. I think that, or either liquid or powder, that Metabolics would have it for sure. And Designs for Health has one.
Okay. So I had a call yesterday, a coaching call, and I just wanted to say that Susan suggested 100 milligrams of progesterone 6 nights a week because it would convert to GABA in the gut.
I mean, 100 milligrams. You're going to have to get somebody to prescribe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get that over the counter.
Right.
But so she's taking, take it orally and take it at bedtime probably.
Right.
Yeah. It's certainly worth a try if you can get somebody to prescribe it.
Okay. And she also thought the DHEA biomatrix drops.
Go back at this. My concern, there's all these cautions.
Right.
Don't take DHEA if you've had breast cancer.
Right.
So that's always my concern. I mean, if you didn't never had breast cancer and I saw this, I would for sure do that. You know, pregnenolone is possible. You can get pregnenolone drops and let the body choose where it's going to go. But I'm just gun shy with somebody that's had a history of cancer to recommend DHEA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But pregnenolone could feed down this way. And Biomatrix has pregnenolone drops.
You know, I'd rather just stay with the fewest things I can because I'm already on a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, DHEA can bring down the cortisol, but you just don't know what's going to happen, which pathway your body's going to send it to once it gets in. And that's where I just want to proceed with a little bit more caution. I think the magnolia is good because the magnolia helps to stimulate GABA as well. Taurine helps to stimulate GABA. Progesterone would be fine. I think the progesterone would be fine. But again, you're going to have to get somebody to prescribe it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get the ProAdapt like we talked about. It's not that high a dose, but it is, you can do it topical or you can do it sublingual. They used to sell it sublingual and then all of a sudden it got taken off the market. And all the sublingual progesterone in the world got taken off the market. And then suddenly it came back, same exact formulation, topical oil blend.
Hmm.
It's the same stuff they used to sell as sublingual drops, but now it says topical oil blend. So we know that, you know, there's a lot of work being done to try to take all this stuff off the market. Product may expose. Oh, yeah. So California makes you put this on progesterone. This product may expose you to chemicals which are shown by the state of California to cause cancer, birth defects. Progesterone has never been shown by anybody to produce cancer or birth defects. So who the legislators are in bed with in terms of the pharmaceutical companies leaves a lot to be questioned at this point.
Yeah,
so this basically is 2 to 5 drops, 1 to 2 times daily. And it used to say, I probably have an old bottle of this that is almost empty, and I looked at the old documentation I had from them, and it looks exactly the same. So I don't know, it doesn't say it's safe sublingually. It doesn't taste bad. And it has a little bit of a bitterness to it. Yeah, actually, it does taste bad. Not good. Anyway, but topical works for any hormones application. Topical, especially in the vulva area or in the anal mucosa.
So can I ask a question?
Sure.
Interrelated. So the testosterone cream I was using, I was putting on my scrotum.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, was that a bad thing to have done? I mean, should I have been putting it instead on these other areas that you're talking about, like wrists?
Like your vulva? No. I think anal mucosa is where it's going to get absorbed the best and you need the least. The scrotum is a thin tissue and it's going to get absorbed really well there as well. So yeah. I don't think it's a problem putting it there. You just need to use a whole lot less.
Okay. Like
if we're putting it that same dose on your wrist, you probably would not have had those super high doses.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Then you're wasting your money.
Yeah, okay. That's
right? You know, that's the trade-off. And so I like to put the least amount of something in the body as possible, get it through the most direct route. And quite frankly, most people don't want to apply it to the anal mucosa, but it's a little dab and you apply it and go to sleep, you know.
So what would be the maximum optimal testosterone level you'd like to see?
As far as the levels in the...
Yeah, you know, mine came back. So I was like at 279 and now I'm at 900.
Yeah, I would have liked to see, I'm just going to show you on the chart, on the little wheel. I'd love to see you right there in the middle of the wheel. Like originally you were down here on the wheel or somewhere down there. And now you're up here on the wheel. Let's just find this nice, happy place right in the middle of the wheel.
Well, I'm trying to correlate that to blood testosterone.
Oh, to the blood. Well, I would say, again, you look at the range and you look at, you know, somewhere in the center of the range. What was it before 200 and now it's 900?
280.
It was 280. And was that considered low on their test?
No, she kind of made it optional. So I thought, well, why not try it and see how I do? And that was 6 weeks ago. So, maybe I'm just better discontinuing it completely. I don't know.
I personally, if I were you, I would probably can discontinue it with the doctor's permission because I don't want to have you have a withdrawal, like, you know, whatever they say, taper down. And I would try that for a few months and then do another test. Because it's concerning me that it's all getting converted to DHT and estrogen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And those estrogen levels are higher than they were before. Have you noticed any fullness in your breasts or extra weight around the middle?
Weight.
Yeah. Because it's not, like testosterone is for lean muscle, but yours isn't going there. You're going to DHT, which is carcinogenic, and you're going to, and balding. Did you notice your hair starting to fall out more?
No, not that.
And then estrogen, which is a feminizing. Right. And I would think the way that it looks for you, you take the testosterone thinking you're going to feel more manly and have your testosterone level go up, your sex drive go up. And meanwhile, it shoots your estrogen up and then you feel more the other way, you know? So that's what I would do. I would get off. I would wean myself off of it completely, be off of it for 3 months and then see, continue to take your aromatase inhibitors, continue to do the, what I mentioned to you today, the GLA and the zinc to get the 5-alpha reductase down, and then get that DHT down and then go from there and see where you want to go. And if you're going teeny, 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 tiny amount to start, if you feel like you just want a little bump. But remember when you first had that low level, we said, let's get the pathway looking better. And it was looking better. Right. But it's,
jacked with it, so.
It's just, still all converting there. That must, I mean, you must be taking way more, so much, because the testosterone's super high and the estrogens are super high. So you probably could have gotten away with like a tiny fraction.
Yeah, I can't have the best of both worlds. So.
Be good, but no, there we go.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm just really concerned about it. I don't want you to be at risk. And I think it definitely puts you at risk. Yeah. For men, you know, the dials, like for testosterone, there's no postmenopausal. We tend to, as we get into menopause, go down towards that. But between these two dots is where the range is. And menopausal women tend to be lower. We just tend to get lower in testosterone. When it goes below that, then I'm concerned and, you know, want to do something to help you get it up. Have you ever tried pine pollen extract, Jay? Because pine pollen extract, and that's good for females who wanted just a gentle bump in their testosterone. No, Paula, you cannot have pine pollen extract. But it will bump up your testosterone. Small, you know.
Right, but I'll check into it.
But not now.
Well, not
once, Yeah, after you get this out of your system and you get a clean test, and if it's still on the lower end, then you can just try that.
And the pigeons and saw palmetto, I should continue that because they're adaptogenic, right?
They're adaptogenic, and they are 5-alpha reductase inhibitors and aromatase inhibitors.
Okay.
And those are both high for you, the aromatase and the 5-alpha reductase. Yeah, those are fine. Okay. Anything else, Marcia, that we want to?
Oh, I think I'm good for right now. I have other tests, but we can go over that at my last call.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I haven't even been paying attention to time. You guys are all so dedicated. It's, oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. What time are we supposed to end? 8?
Yes.
And you're all still here. You are like the best. You are so dedicated and so passionate about learning that you sit through everybody else's stuff for hours and hours on a Friday night. So you guys are my kind of people. I so appreciate working with you guys. And, you know, I love that dedication. And I'm excited. I'm, you know, excited to be able to do this with all of you. And I'm excited to continue to work with all of you. And I'll continue to work with Claudia in the in NEPT. So you'll just bring your cases to your NEPT calls. You be your own client. Yeah. So awesome. So I'm going to be leaving town tomorrow, and I'm going to be teaching up in Brighton Bush Hot Springs at an Ocean Robbins, food revolution retreat. And for 3 whole days, no cell phone, no internet. It's really, I've done this, is the third or fourth year in a row, I can't remember, that I've done this with him. And it's, at first it was really freaky. Now it's like, wow. I just get to like be still and listen to the birds and the crickets.
Do you have to drop them off? Do you have to drop them off like at school where they have a bus?
No. You get to keep it, but then there's no service. So I could keep it and play games on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But I think it's about 8 miles away from the actual retreat place. And it's like, it's gone. I remember one of the times I was in the middle of a launch, and I'm like, I got to get this video done. I got to pull over. I got to get this video. And I got on Facebook, and I'm like, beep, upload it. And then I was like, bye, see ya. You know, and you're talking to the kids and going, okay, everything okay? Okay, there's an emergency. They do have a landline in the office, and, you know, you give it to people for emergencies. But it is kind of nice to just get away and just be with like-minded people, and everybody's so great. And I get to hang out with Ocean and his family, who I absolutely adore. John, and I don't know how many of you have read John Robbins' books or watched him, but he was always my idol. You know, it's like his book came out a couple of years after I got into this stuff, and it's like, ah. So I love being able to hang out with them and just other people and everybody talking about, you know, saving the world and health. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. I have to ask him what he wants me to speak about, but it'll be good, whatever it is. So sometimes it's like, what am I talking about? Oh, okay. And then I just get up and talk about it. So it's loose. It's fun. The food is provided. The first year that I did it, they told the people, you know, they make vegetarian meals, but they wanted vegan meals. And they said, but lots of greens. So they get there and they had like this bunch of greens for 80 people for 4 days. And they're like, that's barely one meal. And they're like, huh? So they actually sent two of their people out and were going from town to town to town to town and buying every bit of kale and spinach and chard and arugula that they could find in this 100-mile radius in order to do it. So this last year they had it in the contract that they would have X number of pounds, you know, hundreds of pounds of greens, and every meal was going to provide greens. So it's kind of cool to just, yeah, to be in an environment like that where everybody's valuing, you know, the power of greens. So thank you guys for being here and for hanging out with me tonight. And, Angelica's actually, which room are you in? Oh, you're still in Scott's office. She's here and she's going to pet sit for us while we're gone. So I'm excited she's here with us. Yay.
And Scott's not. Just,
and Scott left yesterday.
The dog.
It's the dog. Is the dog there? Did you feed her? I didn't. She's probably going to bite.
I'll feed her.
I fed her breakfast and lunch, and then I was, you know, busy with all this.
For she's her. All right. She gets, she's well cared for. Scott is very doting.
Yes, yes. She's been, she can survive. Yep, and I'll head out tomorrow, and so we'll see you in September, as they say.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wonderful. Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you made it. I'm so glad you made it. All right, bye, everybody.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good to see you, Marcia.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Did you copy your whole the chat, Marcia?
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to cut out your notes before. Okay. Bye-bye.